Even after 32 shampoos, I love how my color stays pure. How? New Everpure. L'Oreal's first shampoo, free of harsh sulfates and salt. Everpure guarantees this. Rich lather so pure, it respects every strand. L'Oreal's new Everpure.
I'm Nick Young with the CBS World News Roundup. New details are coming to light about the origins of the Bush administration's approval of interrogation measures critics say amount to torture. Live to CBS News reporter Vicki Barker for the details.
The Senate Armed Services Committee reports a senior Bush administration figure solicited information about aggressive interrogation techniques and then redefined the law to make them look legal. Janice Karpinski, the Brigadier General demoted over the Abu Ghraib affair, says it was clear to her the techniques used in Afghanistan, Guantanamo, and Iraq were centrally coordinated.
The line is clear. It went from Washington, D.C., from the very top of the administration, through Bagram, to Guantanamo Bay, and then to Iraq via the commander.
Karpinski says failure to prosecute the architects of alleged torture leaves only the low-ranking soldiers convicted of abuse scapegoats for their commander's actions. President Obama seemingly softening his opposition to prosecution, but top intelligence official Dennis Blair argues those tough interrogation tactics worked. Nick?
It's been nearly 9 years since a terrorist attack on the USS Cole left 17 sailors dead. Now the relatives of some of the victims are set to receive at least $200,000 each from the government of Sudan, which a lawsuit argued provided support for the Al-Qaeda bombers to carry out their attack. Sudan has denied it. With the recession deepening, there is now a troubling report about the next generation of Americans who face making their way in the world. CBS News correspondent Cammie McCormick has the story.
The high school dropout rate might surprise you.
A million students every year drop out. That is one every 26 seconds.
Dropout rates are highest in urban areas like Indianapolis, Cleveland, and Detroit. Marguerite Kondracki of America's Promise Alliance says the stakes have never been higher.
This country cannot recover from the economic crisis if we are losing half of our big city children from high school.
The solutions, she says, include better teachers and higher standards for both teachers and students. Cammie McCormick, CBS News, New York.
For students who plan to continue beyond high school, the tab is growing. USA Today reports public colleges and universities caught in their state's economic bind are planning to boost tuition at least 5%, sometimes much more, for the coming year. The foreclosure crisis isn't just limited to the country's fastest-growing communities any longer. CBS News correspondent Peter King reports.
The first quarter numbers show a new trend.
The foreclosure problem seems to be spreading from the major metropolitan areas out into some of the secondary markets.
Realty Track Senior Vice President Rick Sharga has one example.
Boise had never probably been in the top 50 or 60 before and is now just outside of the real problem areas that we've talked about.
Boise came in just behind 26 cities concentrated in Nevada, Florida, California, and Arizona. Sharga says cities like Boise represent another growing trend, foreclosures caused by unemployment. Peter King, CBS News, Orlando.
CBS affiliate WUSA-TV quotes police in Fairfax County, Virginia, saying the acting chief financial officer of Freddie Mac has been found dead in an apparent suicide. David Kellerman had been named to the post in September. Lawmakers begin wrestling with a measure to tackle climate change. CBS News correspondent Bob Fuss has that story.
On this Earth Day, a House committee hears from the first of dozens of witnesses as it begins to consider a sweeping energy bill to combat global warming and reduce dependence on oil. Massachusetts Democrat Ed Markey.
The time for delay and denial and inaction has come to an end.
The proposed bill would cap emissions and require a switch to cleaner fuels for utilities. Texas Republican Ralph Hall is opposed.
What would regulations mean for electricity rates? Are these costs we're willing to accept?
The Secretaries of Energy and Transportation are among today's witnesses. Bob Fuss, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
It's 4 past the hour.
I'm David Cale with an AM 760 local news update. The Colorado House has voted to eliminate the death penalty and use the money saved to focus on cold cases. Colorado Attorney General John Suthers.
My basic argument has always been the people of Colorado voted twice, 1966, 1974, overwhelmingly approved it. And it's my position that if the legislature thinks they've changed their mind, we ought to ask them.
The measure now will go to the state Senate. Governor Ritter has signed the Colorado Health Care Affordability Act. It provides health coverage to 100,000 uninsured Coloradans and will help keep costs down for people like Anna Sierra.
We have such peace of mind right now that our children are covered by Medicaid. Our children have been on Medicaid for 4 years now, and we know we can take them to the doctor for their well-child visits.
Sierra's husband had to close his business last year. Hospitals are paying for half the cost of the Affordability Act, the federal government the other half. Today marks the springtime holiday known as Earth Day, a time that urges people around the world to think greener. This man says it's an important time to raise awareness about the environment.
It's just important, you know, recognize the environment. We need to kind of preserve it and protect it for those that come after us.
Earth Day was started in 1970 by U.S. Senator Gaylord Nelson. It's now observed each year by more than 500 million people in 175 countries. Sports, Rockies beat the Diamondbacks 9-6. Todd Helton with his first homer of the season. Final game of that series this afternoon. That's your AM 760 Progressive Talk News Update. I'm David Cale. Now here's Todd Parker with your AM 760 Progressive Traffic.
Where it's a decent trip around the metro as things do get up and running. We are seeing some slight slowdowns southbound I-25, Thornton Parkway to 84th. It's also getting heavy on 225 DTC to DTC as you're trying to get up to I-25. In the high country, it's a decent trip to and through Summit County along I-70. I'm Todd Parker, AM 760, Progressive Talk.
Every once in a while, a revolutionary product comes along that changes everything.
Take it into the future.
Looking for a new companion to keep track of the time and the number of calories you're burning? You need to check out the latest additions to Garmin's Forerunner range of watches, including the 310 XT, which features a robust exterior, is waterproof to 50 meters, boasts improved calorie counting accuracy, and also has GPS and wireless connectivity capabilities.
Inspector Gadget.
Showbiz.
Next year's Golden Globes will be televised live across the U.S. for the first time. Organizers say that time differences and leaked videos in the West Coast before the show has even aired meant that it makes more sense to just screen the show live across the country at the same time. 2010's nominations will be revealed on December 15th.
Showbiz.
Bruno is Sacha Baron Cohen's highly anticipated follow to Borat. It's set for a July 10th release, but unless producers tone down some of the content, it could be slapped with a kiss of death NC-17 rating. Reports suggest there may be a little too much sexy time in the mockumentary about the flamboyant fashionista Bruno, which has already been praised by critics. Welcome to
the
Lost
for the world premiere
and
Showbiz.
The movie industry is all a Twitter about rumors of a big screen return for Tom and Jerry. If true, they would be following in the live-action footsteps of fellow Hanna-Barbera character Scooby-Doo. According to reports, the new Tom and Jerry movie will focus on how the two characters met and the reasons behind their subsequent rivalry.
Showbiz.
Of interrogation techniques on terrorism suspects. And did not rule out action by the Justice Department against those who fashioned the legal rationale for those techniques. This is a major reversal. You know, the administration's been saying two different things. The New York Times says the remarks amounted to a shift. The president had repeatedly said that the nation should look forward rather than focusing on the past. And his chief of staff, Rahm Emanuel, said Sunday in a television interview that Obama believed that those who devised policy should not be prosecuted. So this is a reversal, and a good one, I think. And I think the president should be applauded for that. This is the right way to go. The other thing that Obama acknowledged on this issue was that it's not his decision. And that's exactly right. This is a really important declaration. He said that it's up to the Attorney General and the Justice Department to decide who and what to prosecute. And, you know, we've been living through an age where law enforcement has been so politicized. And I don't think Obama is passing the buck when he says that it's up to the Justice Department to decide whether to prosecute. That's actually how law enforcement is supposed to work. Politicians aren't supposed to decide what gets prosecuted and what doesn't get prosecuted. There's supposed to be some veneer of nonpartisan objectivity here. And so Obama's saying, look, the Justice Department folks, the prosecutors, have to figure out if there's a case here. That's right. We don't want the president deciding whether this should be prosecuted or not. We also don't want him saying that it shouldn't be prosecuted. So I think his declaration yesterday about this issue is right on target. Supreme Court case. An important case that the Supreme Court sometimes informs as much about the justices as the issue at hand, says the Washington Post. And yesterday's animated hearing on whether school officials have the right to strip search a 13-year-old female student seemed just such a case. This was a case, can students be strip searched for illegal drugs? High school students. Very interesting case. The Wall Street Journal reports that the banking industry is aggressively lobbying the Treasury Department to make it less costly for banks to get out of the bailout program. The move could prove controversial for the industry, which is busy deflecting criticism about higher fees it is charging consumers for credit cards and other products and services. At issue are warrants the government received when it bought preferred stock in roughly 500 banks. These warrants allow the government to buy common stocks in the banks at a later date so taxpayers can receive more of a return on our investment. Many banks want to return their TARP money, the bailout money, and they want to get rid of the warrants. To do that, banks must either buy them back or allow the Treasury to sell them to private investors. Bankers say, this is hilarious, you got to hear this. Bankers say it's unfair to charge what amounts to a prepayment penalty, which makes it additionally onerous to escape the bailout. I love it. So banks that charge consumers a prepayment penalty say it's unfair for us, the taxpayers, to charge them a prepayment penalty. Oh, man, it's incredible. Anybody been following this Jane Harmon scandal? This is incredible. I mean, this is an incredible story. Congresswoman Jane Harmon of California yesterday launched a blistering counteroffensive Tuesday, denying published reports. She offered to help two pro-Israel lobbyists accused of espionage, an offer allegedly captured on secret government wiretaps. Harmon took to the airwaves to accuse the Bush administration of an abuse of power for authorizing surveillance. Now, what's amazing about this is Jane Harmon was one of the Democrats who basically supported Bush's warrantless wiretapping program. How do you complain about illegal wiretaps when you supported warrantless wiretapping? In fact, the New York Times acknowledges yesterday that Harmon called the newspaper and asked them not to run a story in 2004 exposing the warrantless wiretapping program, a story that would have come out before the 2004 election, and the 2004 election was decided by such a slim margin. Arguably, had that story been reported about Bush's warrantless wiretapping program, arguably John Kerry would be the president. So here we have this congresswoman who helped justify and protect the warrantless wiretapping program, complaining that she got caught in a sting operation via the warrantless wiretapping program. It's incredible. It's really incredible. The Politico. Credit card CEOs thought they had it bad. The economy had crashed, the credit market is tight, and customers are stressed. Now add to that list of woes a White House bent on reforming the industry by shutting down some of the industry's most lucrative and controversial practices. On Thursday, 14 CEOs of credit card divisions of major banks will be summoned to the White House. And the White House is expected to demand that the credit card issuers lower interest rates for vulnerable borrowers and increase disclosure of rates and what they mean. That's good. That's good news. I'm glad the White House is doing this. But remember, my belief is they can publicly browbeat these CEOs all they want. They're not going to get reform unless they pass legislation to force this industry to change. The London Independent reports, a controversial fertility doctor claimed yesterday to have cloned 14 human embryos and transferred 11 of them into the wombs of four women who'd been prepared to give birth to cloned babies. So cloning is back on the news. In the news. LA Times. In the first major disclosure of corruption in the bailout program, federal investigators said Monday they have opened 20 criminal probes into possible securities fraud, tax violations, insider trading, and other crimes. The cases represent only the first wave of investigations, and the total fraud could ultimately reach into the tens of billions of dollars. The disclosures reinforce fears that the hastily designed and rapidly changing bailout program is going to carry a heavy price of fraud against taxpayers. Even as questions grow about its ability to stabilize the nation's financial system. Now remember, those of us who opposed this bailout and the way it was structured were labeled as crazy and as extremists. Now it's coming out that this is what we all predicted that it was going to be, a giant slush fund for fraud. Some local news. A new law, this is the Fort Collins, Colorado, and a new law signed by Governor Ritter on Tuesday aims to give drivers more warning when cities like Fort Collins decide to use photo radar systems to monitor traffic speeds and red light violations. Senate Bill 222 requires conspicuous signs to be placed at least 300 feet in advance of radar emplacements monitoring traffic speeds and similar signs no closer than 200 feet in front of red light cameras. New poll, favorability ratings for President Barack Obama and Senator Mark Udall in Colorado have fallen beneath 50%. A survey from the Public Policy Polling found 49% of Colorado voters approve of Obama's performance compared to 41% who dissent. Udall found support from 41%. That's terrible. With 46% disapproving of his first 3 months in the U.S. Senate. Those are awful numbers. I mean, those are really bad. Some conflicting data on the housing market here. Denver Business Journal, foreclosure filings in the Denver metro area declined nearly 46% in the first 3 months of 2009 from the same period a year ago. That's good news. But over here at the Colorado Independent, I read, just as a voluntary ban on foreclosures ended, a record jump in foreclosures activity in March is raising troubling questions about whether lenders and servicers are genuinely willing and able to do loan modifications on a large scale. So some varying data on what's really going on in the housing market, which I think highlights the fact that the housing market is so volatile. A United Airlines official says an airliner leaving BWI for Denver was hit by lightning. A storm swept across the Washington area. It was diverted last night. That's good. A little scare there. Pueblo County School District will stick with a 5-day school week, but even board members who voted against the calendar change supported by the superintendent down there agreed that the district faces major challenges. This was the district that was almost going to go to a 4-day school week, so that was rejected. We've been talking about that over the last couple weeks. And the big story that we're going to be talking about in the first hour and throughout the morning, top of the news here in Denver. In the most dramatic vote that anyone in the Colorado House can remember, a measure to repeal the state's death penalty passed the House by one vote on a 33-32 vote. The deciding moment came from Representative Ed Vigil, who took what seemed to House members as forever to cast his vote in favor of the bill, which repeals the state's death penalty and diverts money to prosecute cases into the investigation of cold cases. Vigil is a former investigator for the 12th District Attorney's Office, said he struggled with the benefits but ultimately cast a vote for the bill. So the open question, do you support the repeal of the death penalty here in Colorado? We've got open phones, 303-713-7600. This bill now moves to the state Senate, where there's going to be a very, very passionate debate. And it's a very, very controversial issue, obviously. But this is a big news. You'll if you look at the Denver Post, it's the top of the fold, big headline. The legislature is moving towards repealing the death penalty. What do you think about that? 303-713-7600 is the number. The AM 760 Progressive Dojo. I hereby declare the AM 760 Progressive Dojo is now open to debate whether you think repealing the death penalty is what we should be doing right now. 303-713-7600. We got open phones. I'm David Sirota, filling in for J. Marvin on AM 760 Progressive Talk. On this beautiful Front Range morning, let's go to John Turk with traffic.
Thank you, Dave.
Welcome back, man.
Thank you. It's good to be back.
John's been on vacation.
Sort of good to be back from vacation. Yeah, the first day is always a rough one, and especially when you lost your voice over the last 5 days. But we'll give traffic a go this morning. We do have a little problem there in Capitol Hill. Lane restrictions in place at 10th and Pearl downtown. That's due to a large sinkhole. Should have that... that probably is going to be in your way all day, so do expect some delays around 10th and Pearl. On the highways, looking pretty normal for us on a Wednesday morning. Usual jams, southbound 225 at Tamarack Parkway down to the Tech Center. Also southbound I-25 up in Northland at Thornton Parkway down to 84th, again after Park Avenue. Also seeing more traffic heading westbound on 76 beginning at 74th Avenue. Your forecast, sunny to start, increased clouds this afternoon, isolated gusty storms as well with little, if any, precipitation. Afternoon highs in the mid to upper 70s. Right now we're at 47 degrees in Denver. John Turk, AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
The Douglas County Democratic Party invites you to join them at their 5th annual Clinton-Carter Dinner on Saturday, April 25th. This dinner has it all. Great speakers like Governor Bill Ritter, the National Director of Progress Now, Michael Huttner, and Andrew Romanoff as the MC, plus live entertainment and a silent auction. Be part of the new energy that's turning Douglas County blue. Tickets can be purchased at douglasdemocrats.org or call 303-907-8961.
Economy doesn't need to affect your business's prosperity. Just maintain your current output while cutting back on fixed costs. Sound impossible? Then you haven't heard of 10 Till 2. 10 Till 2 is the cutting-edge staffing company that specializes in providing businesses just like yours with experienced, college-educated, part-time employees. No temps, no costly benefits, just skilled professionals. Visit 10till2.com. That's TENTILTWO.com. 10 Till 2. The time is now.
Interested in learning more about solar and helping the environment? Then join Independent Power Systems at Party for the Planet Kids Fest at the Denver Aquarium. Party for the Planet is the American Zoo Association's official Earth Day celebration. Kids Fest is this Saturday, April 25th at the Denver Aquarium from 10 to 4. Visit solarips.com/kidfest to learn more or to schedule a free solar assessment. Independent Power Systems, the Coors Field solar experts.
For a smart buy and a new best-in-class automobile, then look at the Chevy Malibu. For the money, there just isn't a better choice. And for a dealer to buy it from, there isn't a better choice than Purefoy Chevrolet. Find us at DenverMalibu.com or MalibuDenver.com. Any way you spell it, it's PurefoyChevrolet.com.
Every once in a while, a revolutionary product comes along that changes everything.
Take it into the future.
With the new iPod Shuffle, think zero, as in zero buttons. Yep, user control of the new Shuffle from the main unit to the headphones results in a reduction in size of around 50%. As cool as it sounds, though, there is one small caveat. If you're doing anything other than sitting still, you're going to have trouble grabbing the constantly swaying headphone control.
Inspector Gadget.
Every once in a while, a revolutionary product comes along that changes everything.
Take it into the future.
iPhone users now have a new way to make calls. Say hello to Skype for iPhone. Don't get too excited, though. As it turns out, you'll only be able to use this app when you're connected to the interwebs via Wi-Fi. Even so, it does promise the ability to make free Skype-to-Skype calls, Skype out support, and instant messaging with other users.
Inspector Gadget.
624, I'm David Sirota, filling in for J. Marvin on AM 760 Progressive Talk. 303-713-7600, the AM760 Progressive Dojo is now open. We are discussing, sparring, going to the mat about the big death penalty vote in the legislature. The Colorado House, by one vote, voted to repeal the death penalty here in Colorado, and now this bill moves to the state Senate. What do you think? Good idea? Bad idea? 303-713-7600, couple open lines. Let's go to Kurt in Littleton. Kurt, what do you think?
Well, Davis, how you doing?
Good.
You know, it's interesting, of course, that it was that close, but in fact, the death penalty is just a penalty for a guy to be on death row for several decades, oftentimes, and spend all kinds of the taxpayers' money. And we only have one guy that's had it, which is Gary Davis. You may remember that if you were out here. And that was kind of traumatic for a lot of people. But in terms of by the fruit, you know, the tree, I don't think it does much good to have the death penalty, because they don't usually, or the penalty usually is not enforced. What happens is, what's enforced is a lot of appeals that seem to go on forever, and I think that's harder on the families.
Well, it definitely would save money.
Right.
And this is definitely clear.
Which John Codera would like.
Yeah, it would definitely. I mean, this is a lot of this criminal justice reform is now centering in on how much money all of this stuff would save, how much money criminal justice reform would save. And the death penalty costs the state a lot of money because you have to incarcerate somebody for a long time. The appeals process costs a lot of money. And so we're in a state budget crunch. And so this is why these issues are coming up. And I forgot to report, and I should have reported it when I started this, that this vote comes simultaneous to a vote against criminal justice reform. I think the death penalty vote is a vote for criminal justice reform, but the AP is also reporting this morning that facing opposition from district attorneys and the governor, Colorado lawmakers are dropping a plan to overhaul sentencing laws this year. We talked about this earlier in the week. Backers plan to rework the bill to push the state's criminal justice commission to tackle the issue later, but district attorneys who opposed sentencing reform have won the day, at least right now. And I urge everybody to stick around in the 7 a.m. hour. We're going to have the incoming new state Senate President Brandon Schaefer on to discuss what he's looking to do. He's succeeding State Senator Peter Groff, who's going to work for the Obama administration. And we'll ask the new incoming president why the bigger criminal justice reform bill was killed. But so we've got the sentencing bill going down, but the death penalty bill moving forward. And as you said, Kurt, it's about cost. You know, the death penalty would getting rid of the death penalty would save us money and allow us to put that money into reopening some of these cold cases that were never solved. And the sentencing reform proposal was put forward because, again, of cost. And I think that's changing the whole debate, don't you?
Absolutely, because they're struggling so much. It's interesting that it's an ironic twist on the result of Tabor that these kinds of reforms should have to come out of it because they're so strapped for money.
You're right. A super ultra conservative budgetary measure is actually forcing a progressive debate.
Precisely.
On criminal justice reform. So I guess for every bad thing, it's really true. There are always some, well, not always, but there often is a silver lining. Thanks for the call, man. 629, I'm David Sirota, filling in for Jay Marvin on AM 760 Progressive Talk. The AM 760 Progressive Dojo is open for business. So if you want to debate out, spar about the death penalty, give us a call, 303-713-7600. Again, 303-713-7600, couple lines open. I want to hear your views on whether you think this is a good idea to get rid of the death penalty, or does this make you worried that there's not going to be a criminal justice deterrent here to the worst kinds of crime? Helen in Denver, what do you think?
I think absolutely it should be repealed. In the first place, it doesn't really work. It's been shown that violent crime actually goes up when it's carried out in the area where it's carried out. It has not worked as a deterrent. And, of course, there is the expense. It also sets a terrible moral example for the state to be in the business of killing. And most modern countries have abolished it long since. And we really are lagging behind and joining with some of the most retro countries.
I'm definitely uncomfortable with the death penalty on those grounds. I mean, that's... You can lay out all the empirical reasons to get rid of the death penalty, the budget cost, obviously the questions, at least nationally, about whether it's being administered properly, if you get the conviction wrong on the death penalty, there's no taking it back. There's no fixing it.
We do it so often.
Right.
We get it wrong.
We do. And I'm not sure if we've done it wrong here in Colorado, but certainly there's evidence
There's always the potential.
There's always the potential. But I'm kind of with you on the idea that state-sanctioned killing really, it just creeps me out. You know, it's like... The government,
premeditated murder.
Yeah, the state shouldn't be in the business of killing people. I just think it's and I'm not. I want to be clear. I'm not absolving people who do the most heinous crime. I think life in a maximum security prison is a pretty bad punishment.
Well, it's been deemed by the Amnesty International to be torture. The way we carry out our a maximum security punishment. Another issue.
That is another issue. I mean, I think this is...
But if it doesn't work, why are we doing it? Is a very basic question.
And if it doesn't work, meaning what?
It's applied very unevenly. It's applied to poor minorities mostly. I mean, it's not even fairly administered. I mean, the same crime can be punished so differently, and death is final.
It is final, and that's really I you know, I saw the movie, and granted it was a political movie, but Dead Man Walking.
Oh yes.
Really makes a really brings it home the all of the issues that are mm-hmm. surrounding this.
It's barbaric.
I think you're right. I think it is barbaric. And remember, you know, New Mexico, our neighbor, just repealed
mm-hmm.
the death penalty. So I think this is a national trend.
I certainly hope so.
I'm looking here at this map here, you know, North Dakota, Minnesota, Iowa, Wisconsin, Michigan, West Virginia, New York, Rhode Island, New Jersey, Maine. These states have repealed the death penalty. Unfortunately, I'm reading here from the Denver Post story, it's unclear whether Bill Ritter supports this. This is the Denver Post story. Even if it were to get through the Senate, it's unclear what kind of reception the bill would receive from Governor Ritter. Quote, the governor continues to monitor the bill as it moves through the legislature. Evan Dreyer, Ritter's spokesman, said in an email Tuesday. Rep. Don Marastica, I think that's how you say his name, of Loveland. Marastica, my bad. I'm messing up names this morning. Don Marastica of Loveland was the lone Republican to vote for the bill. This is interesting. Quote, I'm pro-life, and consequently I believe in the sanctity of all human life, and I mean all, he said.
Excellent.
So that's why I voted for it. Oh, man, you know, you wish you could get that kind of consistency from Republicans all the time.
Absolutely.
That's a pretty bold statement.
Or from any politician.
From any politician. That's right. Helen, thanks for the call.
You're welcome. Have a good day.
You too.
Bye.
6:34, I'm David Sirota, filling in for Jay Marvin on AM 760 Progressive Talk. 303-713-7600. Open phones.
I'm going to take a highly unpopular stance on this one, Dave.
You're against it.
I'm kind of against the repeal of it.
You want the death penalty.
I think child molesters should be killed. I really, really do, man. I do not like being, as a taxpayer, responsible for keeping somebody alive in prison,
yeah,
paying
hold,
for their
hold,
food.
But hold on. But it's more expensive to not have the death penalty. Excuse me. It's more expensive to have the death penalty.
To have them put to death?
Yes, because they appeal for a really, really long time. And that,
they appeal and appeal, and it goes
as a budgetary matter, everybody agrees that this would save money, and they're going to take the extra money and put it into investigating cold cases. So as a financial matter, now, you want to talk about, you know, child molesters, they deserve to die. That's a separate issue. And I can't...
I really believe that, though.
Well, I mean, that's your right to believe that. What I'm saying to you is, as a budgetary matter, you can't argue that this won't save money. As a matter of morality, principle, whatever you want to call it, you have every right to believe.
Well, I'd rather have my money going towards killing those type of folks than keeping them alive in prison.
Right, so I'm saying, your view is that regardless of money, you want punishment.
Right, yeah.
It's not unpopular.
I
don't think that's...
Somebody goes on a rampage and kills 30 people.
I think a lot of people feel that way.
Right.
I think that's why the death penalty probably exists. It's hard to have this debate in a way that doesn't. Well, let's put it this way: you and I can agree, both agree, and everyone can agree that child molesters are awful. For instance, deserve serious punishment. Now the question then is: well, what kind of punishment is as serious as you want it to be? And that's where it gets, you know, difficult. But everybody on this issue is entitled to their opinion.
Well, hey, kudos for that. Was it Marostica that you were quoting, the Republican?
Yeah, right.
I mean, you know, like you said, more consistencies from these folks because they claim to be, you know, the party of the Christians.
And pro-life.
Yeah, pro-lifers, but yet...
I know. That's wherever you stand on this issue, at least we can get some consistency. All right. 6:36 on AM 760 Progressive Talk. Anytime... Turk, anytime you need to weigh in and reel me in, you got to do that. That's what you're. That's part of,
you
that's part of your job.
There,
man.
Comment in there.
303-713-7600 is the number. I'm David Sirota, filling in for Jay Marvin. Let's go to traffic.
All right, traffic's still looking pretty good for us. No highway accidents around the metro. We are starting to see some more traffic building on 270 for you eastbounders. Going to hit the brakes around York. We'll briefly break loose after Vasquez. Also, the normal jams coming in out of Thornton and Northland. Southbound I-25, busy speeds dropping into the 30s there to 104th Avenue, all the way down to 84th, also after 38th. Southbound 225, busy in the two normal spots, Colfax, and again after Yosemite, but looking like a pretty nice morning commute going right now. Your forecast, mostly sunny and warm with high winds and a small chance for isolated thunder showers this afternoon. Look for a high around 78 degrees right now. Downtown checking in at 49. Sean Turk, AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
Let's face it, these are challenging times. Right now, your business could use a banker who's been through it and stuck with it. Citywide has been helping metro area businesses thrive for more than 45 years. Bank local. Bank Citywide. CitywideBanks.com.
Hey, it's Tom Harbin, and in case you haven't heard, you can hear AM 760 on your iPhone, BlackBerry, and AM760.net. It's great. Just download the iHeart.
Presenting another compelling identity theft metaphor, brought to you by Identity Guard. Today, icebergs.
When it comes to identity theft protection, a free credit report is just the tip of the iceberg. But often, there's no iceberg below the surface, just a tip bobbing about. So get Identity Guard. With superior protection tools and patented technologies, Identity Guard is a colossal identity theft protection iceberg. All this from the company that's protected over 20 million people. And that does not sound like something an iceberg tip could accomplish. So get Identity Guard and get real protection. Not just a free credit report tip.
Don't be a victim of online identity theft. Get Identity Guard. Serious 21st century stuff for 21st century crime. Sign up now and get the added security of your personal password protector, ID Vault. A $50 value. Free plus shipping and handling. Call 877-600-2669 now. That's 877-600-2669. Or visit identityguard.com.
The winner of American Idol.
You are addicted.
Get ready for another reality TV show which promises to significantly transform the lives of its contestants. If you think you've heard it all before, think again. This as-yet-unnamed show, which is set to air on NBC sometime later this year, will feature the king of self-help, Tony Robbins, who hopes to strengthen and motivate individuals faced with real-life struggles.
Reality TV Rundown.
Every once
once in a while, a revolutionary product comes along that changes everything.
Take it into the future.
The recently released Amazon Kindle 2 has a couple of new buttons, the iPhone and iPod Touch. A new app has just been pushed out through Apple's App Store, which allows users to read the exact same Kindle content with their Apple devices. It doesn't end there, though, as shared features include the ability to sync bookmarks, buy new content, and more.
Inspector Gadget.
The winner of American Idol.
You are addicted.
American audiences could soon be dancing with the Idol, as former Idol winner Ruben Studdard announces that he's keen to compete on Dancing with the Stars. The Season 2 winner recently revealed that he thinks it's a wonderful show and that he would love to be a part of it. Studdard is currently touring with the Ain't Misbehavin' Anniversary Tour, and his new album hits stores on May 19th.
Reality TV Rundown.
On this beautiful Front Range morning, one of those mornings you reminds you why you live here. 47 degrees going up to 73. 70s and 80s the rest of the week. Then, of course, on Saturday it goes down to 50. Last weekend was the weather was awful, and this weekend at least it's going to be sunny. I'd like it to stay 70s and 80s for the weekend. As I've always reminded folks, I am a sandals and barbecue and beer kind of guy, and it's starting to get into that season. I'm David Sirota, filling in for J. Marvin here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. The AM 760 Progressive Dojo is now open for business. We're debating and discussing the death penalty. One John Turk has weighed in saying that he does not like the House's move, Colorado House's move, yesterday to repeal the death penalty, take the saved money from repealing the death penalty and put it into the investigation of cold cases. He just says that, you know, people who commit heinous crimes deserve to die. I'm on the opposite. I don't like the death penalty for various reasons. I think we need to save money. I'm not into state sanctioned killing, and I think that you can punish heinous criminals by putting them in jail for life. That's a pretty bad punishment. But everyone's entitled to their opinion on this issue. It's a very difficult issue. 303-713-7600. The AM 760 Progressive Dojo is open for business. Let's go to the phones. Let's go to Curtis in Cheyenne. Curtis.
Yeah, I just wanted to make the point that you put these guys in prison for life, and that doesn't mean they stop killing, because they kill other inmates and they kill guards. And if you don't have that death penalty, that is a deterrent in prisons to keep inmates in line.
Well, I don't know the numbers on that, but I have not heard that there has been a rash of killing inside of prisons. I'm sure that there are examples. I'm sure that there are examples, but I have not heard of that some sort of broader phenomenon. That's never been brought up in the debate about this.
Well, maybe it should be. I mean, you're asking these men and women to protect you from these people, and I'm referring to the guards. And when you get a person that's just so heinous that he's going to kill guards in prison as well, what do you do with that person?
Well, I mean, you can put him in solitary. That's pretty bad. I mean,
there's limits on how long you can keep him in there.
Look, here's the deal. I mean, I hear what you're saying, but you're talking about an incredibly small number of issues here. And the question is then you have to balance that against, okay, because if we're going to talk about small, very, very small numbers of examples, let's talk about the number of people we've potentially and are going to potentially put to death who didn't commit the crimes they were accused of. Okay, I mean, that we know has happened. We know that that has happened, and we know that that has been a problem across the, so, I just counter to you, are you willing to kill innocent people? Are you willing to kill innocent people to as a cost of doing business for the death penalty, are you?
Well, I think our justice system is set up so 10 guilty men will go free, so you do not convict one innocent one. So we're already
Hold on. That sounds nice. That sounds great. And in the break, I'll bring up the stats. I'll try to find the stats. We know that we have potentially put to death people who were completely innocent because of DNA evidence. So that is actually happening. That is happening. People have died who didn't deserve to die, who didn't do the crime they were convicted of doing. And so that's a fact. That is a fact. So the question again, I'll put it to you again, is that are you okay with that as a cost of doing business for the death penalty?
I am, and here's the reason. The reason is if you put somebody away for life for something that they did wrong as well, by the same argument, are you going to stop putting people away for life?
Well, no, because no. Hold on a minute. No, because if you find out that they were convicted wrongly, you can let them out. If you find out that somebody was convicted wrongly and they've been put to death, you can't bring them back to life.
Yes, but you can't give them back those.
You can't give them back those 10. That's fine. You can't give them back those years, but you can give them back the rest of their years.
Yes, to some extent you could.
So that's the question. That is the question. And everybody who's for the death penalty has to be able to answer that question. Are you okay with killing innocent people, some innocent people, as a cost of doing business to preserve the death penalty?
I am because and I would say that you could probably say the same thing is if you do not kill this heinous individual that what's to say he doesn't take an innocent life as a prison guard down the road? So, I mean...
Yeah, but that's an absolutely ridiculous argument, because what's to say that you're not going to walk outside one day and shoot somebody in the face and kill them? Right? I mean, anybody has the potential to kill somebody else in the future. Yeah, I mean, the idea that you're going to create the death penalty to kill people before they commit future crimes, I mean, that's like...
No, I'm saying, okay, he kills somebody else in prison. What is you sentence the guy to life in prison, and he kills somebody while he's in prison. What are you going to do to him then?
Well, I don't know the answer to what actually happens there. I can try to find out what actually happens in those situations. I will try to find out what happens, but I think it's kind of, you're going down kind of a weird road to say we should execute people in order to prevent them from killing other people in the future. There's something, you're making an assumption about future behavior that hasn't yet happened. Hey, Curtis, thanks for the call, though. Thanks for the debate.
Hey, no problem.
All right, we'll do one more call before the break here. Let's go to Tammy in Denver. Tammy.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning.
I used to be pro-death penalty, and I got to the point where I asked myself the question, can I really support this? What do I know about it? And I got out on the Internet. I checked everything out, and I have to tell you that I questioned my choice. And the reason why is because of the case of Troy Anthony Davis in Atlanta, Georgia. He was convicted of killing an off-duty police officer, but since then, he has had 3 execution dates, 3 last visits, almost been walking into the death chamber, and it's been stopped 3 times. The Supreme Court just turned down an appeal, and one of the judges on the panel stated that it should not be carried out right away because there are some definite questions, but they could not, you know, turn it down, you know, go ahead and get rid of the death penalty conviction because there was no absolute wrong things that were done during the trial. They can't pinpoint, you know, somebody said something wrong or did something wrong.
So what you're saying is, let me make sure I get what you're saying. You're saying that in this case that they basically knew or had very serious reason to believe that the convicted person might not have done the crime, but that because the court case that had convicted him had no technical faults, they couldn't really potentially stop the execution.
Yes. And the guy who is suspected by people of doing the crime has admitted to it.
Right.
Has admitted to it because you can't undo the court case that was already done.
And so this is why you're against the death penalty.
Right. And check it out. You know, I know you're on the radio all the time and you're a reporter and everything. Check it out. Check out Troy Anthony Davis. Online.
I will check that out. And let me say that I will have, after the break, I've got a couple of stats to put some numbers onto how many people have been executed, even though there was compelling evidence that they did not do the crime.
You know, and another one you might want to check out as an example for possibility is Gregory Wright down in Texas, who was executed last year.
I will.
He passed every single lie detector test. The DNA evidence came back that it was not conclusive that it was him.
And look, this is the whole issue here. This is the question that people who are for the death penalty need to answer. Are you okay with killing innocent people as a cost of doing business to preserve the death penalty? Because that is what has happened. Thanks for the call. 303-713-7600 is the number. I'm David Sirota, filling in for J. Marvin on AM 760 Progressive Talk. The House in Colorado has voted to repeal the death penalty. What do you think? Give us a call. Weigh in. First, let's go to John Turk with traffic.
Thank you, David. We do have a situation around Hamden and Broadway. A lot of police activity going on there, so do expect some delays there in Inglewood. Also, lane restrictions in place at 10th and Pearl due to a large sinkhole, so that is another problem spot there near Capitol Hill. Starting to see some more traffic moving around on the freeway systems as well. Eastbound C-470 filling up Kipling all the way down to Platte Canyon. Also, Broadway up to around Quebec. Also seeing things fill up on the Turnpike. Eastbounders going to hit some snags from Pecos down to 25. Now, if you're on 25, normal jam, southbound side, 104th, again after I-70, and also busy in Aurora, southbound 225 side, first at Colfax, again after Parker Road. Your forecast, sunny to start, increased clouds this afternoon, isolated gusty storms as well, with little, if any, precipitation possible. Afternoon highs in the mid to upper 70s. Right now we're at 50 degrees in Denver. John Turk, AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
Need to find a reliable business? Did you know that the Better Business Bureau can connect you to trustworthy businesses? Just ask Dale, CEO of your Denver Boulder BBB. Get the information you need before you spend money. Visit denverbbb.org. That's denverbbb.org.
There's a lot of Americans out there who are worried about it.
Spring is here, and now is the perfect time to buy new trees for your yard. Creekside Tree Nursery is fully stocked with fruit trees, and during their fruit tree sale, prices start at only $66 per tree. Spend $500 or more and get free delivery in most areas of Boulder County. Save money, increase the value of your home, and make your yard a living investment. Call 303-668-7647 or visit creeksideboulder.com.
Jared, the Galleria of Jewelry, is proud to present the Peerless Diamond.
That's Jared!
Many experts say the most beautiful diamond is the ideal cut diamond. Exclusively at Jared, the Peerless Diamond, the ideal cut diamond, is tested and certified by two independent laboratories. One measures the diamond's four C's, while the other its radiance and fire. This second report measures what your eyes will have already told you, that the Peerless is one beautiful diamond.
It can only be Jared!
Nissan, Toyota, Honda, Saab, Pontiac, Volkswagen, Mercedes-Benz, Jaguar. I mean, they've got it all. And these are the kind of things I hear about Rockies all the time.
I did go up to Rockies. It was the best experience I ever had of buying a car. I bought a lot of cars in my life. Just the whole experience, I was going to tell you, was awesome.
I want to put a plug in for Rockies. We bought that car. We bought it cheap, and it was worth a whole lot more. My next vehicle is going to be from them again, I guarantee you.
That's Rockies Autos, open Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. Get out there and see them in person. Rockies Autos, located at the corner of 63rd and Federal, just north of I-76, just south of the Boulder Turnpike.
Food from the Hood, the nation's first student-managed company, is now celebrating its 15-year anniversary. You can purchase all-natural honey mustard or creamy Italian salad dressings at all major retail stores and online at Amazon.com. Buying their salad dressing sends a student to college. Visit foodfromthehood.com for more information.
6:54, I'm David Sirota, filling in for J. Marvin on AM 760 Progressive Talk, 303-713-7600. We are in the AM 760 Progressive Dojo. It is open for business. We're debating going to the mat, sparring about the death penalty. And as promised, I just want to give you some stats here. A couple stats. In the wake of more than 200 exonerations based on DNA evidence, including some wrongfully convicted death row prisoners, jurisdictions throughout the United States are now enacting key policy reforms that add safeguards to protect against wrongful convictions and provide inmates with better access to crucial evidence during appeals. All but 8 states now give inmates varying degrees of access to DNA evidence that might not have been available at the time of their convictions. A 2005 study conducted by the University of Michigan Law School found 340 prisoners sentenced from 1989 to 2003 have been exonerated. 205 were convicted of murder, so potential death penalty cases. Some more numbers here. Northwestern University School of Law documented at least 38 executions carried out in the United States in spite of compelling evidence of innocence or serious doubt about guilt, thanks to DNA evidence. So this is real, folks. We are killing innocent people. That's real. Let's do one more call before the top of the hour, before we got to get to the news. Let's see, who's been holding the longest? Let's go to Bob in Denver. Bob.
How you doing?
Good.
Well, I'm just going to tell you, I led you a lot of years. This weather is very typical. I'm sorry, you know, that's going to happen. It's going to happen ahead of weekend.
Yeah.
Anyway, and I lived through it for 35 years or so, but anyway, 40 years. But anyway, I kind of agree with you. The thing of it is, you'll never perfect it. And you weren't here. There was a case where two gang members beat some gal just about within a quarter inch of her life and killed her fiancé. And they've probably been in a 8x10 cell for the last 10 or 15 years down in Canyon City. And, you know, they're only out of that cell for an hour a day.
Yeah, I mean, that's bad punishment. I mean, that's pretty harsh, tough punishment.
So, I mean, they don't have a whole lot of amenities either.
Right, I mean, and I think everybody in this debate, we can all stipulate that, look, people who commit heinous crimes, no one's trying to side with them, right? No one's trying to say that what they did is okay. I mean, this is an issue of other issues, budgetary issues, the morality of the state killing, and then, of course, killing innocent people. And you're right, there are pretty harsh punishments that you can do short of the death penalty to make sure you haven't killed somebody who's innocent. Hey, Bob, thanks for the call.
Bye-bye.
6:58, I'm David Sirota, filling in for J. Marvin on AM 760 Progressive Talk. In the 7 a.m. hour, we're going to be talking to the new state Senate president, Brandon Schaefer. I'll ask him about this death penalty issue because it's moving to the state Senate. We're also going to talk a little bit about immigration with an expert, one of the nation's experts. And we'll get back to talking to calls about the death penalty, so stick around.
This is Ed McCaffrey. I'm talking today with Dr. Jennifer Clark, podiatrist and Good Feet Medical Director. Dr. Clark, why do so many people today suffer from pain in their feet, heels, knees, and back? It seems to me the problem's much more widespread now than it was even a few years ago.
It's not your imagination, Ed. Over the past 15 years, shoe design changed. It used to be at least some arch support was built into every shoe. That's no longer the case. Today, there's very little arch support built into even the most expensive shoes. That's why people are hurting.
So even high-priced shoes won't relieve the pain?
Every day I talk with customers who've spent a bunch of money searching for the perfect shoe to help their plantar fasciitis. That's the bad news. The good news is Good Feet Arch Supports bring an end to their search and their pain.
Donate your new or used shoes at any Good Feet store and get 10% off your arch support purchase. Proceeds go to Goodwill. Call 877-620-FEET. That's 877-620-FEET for Good Feet. America's number one arch support.
Turn to the left. with AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk. KKZN, Thornton, Denver, Boulder, and AM760.net.
CBS News. I'm Steve Kathan. A top official at the giant lender, Freddie Mac, found dead in his home.
We're calling it a suicide, but it will be up to the medical examiner to tell us the cause and manner of death.
Marianne Jennings of the Fairfax, Virginia Police tells CBS radio affiliate WTOP it's David Kellerman, the acting chief financial officer at Freddie Mac. Reporter Rebecca Doyle is working the story for WUSA-TV.
We recently found out how bad the news was for Freddie Mac. It reported a fourth quarter loss of $23.9 billion. And for Kellerman, this would have been his job to certify these results, so he must have been under a tremendous amount of pressure.
President Obama's top intelligence official says high-value information was gathered thanks to tough interrogations during the Bush years. Dennis Blair said so in a memo obtained by the Associated Press. President Obama now says those behind the harsh methods could face prosecution. Army Reserve Colonel Janice Karpinski, who was demoted because of abuses at Abu Ghraib prison in Iraq, tells the CBS Early Show a congressional report supports her contention uniformed military people were made scapegoats.
From the beginning, I've been saying that these soldiers didn't design these techniques on their own, and the soldiers routinely said in their own court-martials, you know, we were following orders.
A firefighter's promotion exam and questions about affirmative action, part of a key case before the U.S. Supreme Court.
Once again, the court is being asked to determine the boundaries of affirmative action protections. White firefighters in New Haven, Connecticut accused the city of reverse discrimination for refusing to approve promotion exam test results that threw out nearly all minority candidates. CBS News chief legal analyst Andrew Cohen thinks they'll find backers on the bench.
Bad facts for proponents of whatever is left of affirmative action, so don't be surprised if the court limits it further.
Barry Bagnato, CBS News, Washington.
The latest report on foreclosures says four states are bearing the brunt of it.
The top 26 foreclosure cities were in California, Florida, Nevada, and Arizona. Realty Track Senior Vice President Rick Sharga says Las Vegas was king of the hill.
One in every 22 households received a foreclosure notice during the first quarter of the year. That was about seven times the national average.
He says foreclosure activity is up in secondary and suburban markets like Boise, Idaho, which was 27th.
Similarly, we saw Fayetteville, Arkansas, Provo, Utah, and Chicago all show up in the top 40, and those, again, are indicative of looming unemployment issues.
Peter King, CBS News, Orlando.
In the Craigslist murder investigation, Massachusetts authorities believe they have a motive.
What motivated his robbery? Why he was robbing women? Could gambling have been an issue? We'll look at that, but right now, robbery was the motive.
Suffolk County DA Dan Conley on the early show. 22-year-old medical student Philip Markoff is charged with murder and robbery. His former lab partner tells the Boston Globe Markoff had mood swings and appeared disturbed. Before the bell, S&P futures are down 10. This is CBS News.
If you're a contractor, four of the most beautiful words you can hear are, "I like your quote." To help you hear that more often, the Home Depot has lowered the price of over 1,000 items pros use the most. Latest example, 20% off select special order doors and windows, including Geldwin, Feather River, and Masonite, which can then lead to the four best words of all. You got the job. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. Valid through May 6th in U.S. only. See store for details.
What's the true cost to own a minivan? If you choose the Honda Odyssey, the answer is less than you might think. Because it's a top safety pick by the Insurance Institute of Highway Safety, your insurance costs can be significantly lower over the long term. Plus, it's nice to know your passengers will feel protected too. Good reasons why the Odyssey is the best-selling minivan in America.
Based on all Polk & Company retail registrations for the minivan segment January through November 2008, based on Edmunds.com's true cost to own for the first 5 years of ownership.
I'm David Kao with an AM 760 local news update. Colorado Attorney General John Souther is taking a wait-and-see approach on the House vote to eliminate the death penalty.
I'm sure the interested parties will do their various lobbying in the Senate, and we'll see what the Senate does, and then it would move to the governor's desk. I've obviously stated my reasons for being in opposition to it.
Souther says the people of Colorado have voted twice for the death penalty and that they should have a vote before, a say that is, before the state decides to do away with it. Today's Earth Day, founded in 1970 to raise awareness about the environment, this local man says most people aren't living a green lifestyle.
I think maybe lazy, drive too much when they can walk or ride bikes.
There won't be any air pollution coming from the ski train anymore. The Denver Post reporting it's heading to Canada, sold after 69 years of chugging skiers from Union Station to Winter Park. Sports, Rockies over the D-backs 9-6. They'll play the final game of that series this afternoon in Arizona. That's your AM 760 Progressive Talk News Update. I'm David Kale. Now Todd Parker with your AM 760 Progressive Traffic.
That's where southbound I-25 getting very busy as you're coming out of Thornton and North Glen, just past 120th, taking it to 84th. Speeds will pick up a little bit as you're making your way past 36, but bogged down again downtown. We're also seeing delays building on that southbound side of 225. This is after Parker Road, taking you up to I-25. There's some lane restrictions in place downtown, water main break, 10th and Pearl, police activity, Broadway and Hampton. I'm Todd Parker, AM 760, Progressive Talk.
Ryland Homes is giving you more new home purchase power. Now through April 26th, take advantage of special incentives that could save you thousands. Only during the Purchase Power Advantage sales event, log on to Ryland.com now. Restrictions apply. Equal housing opportunity.
If you're a contractor, four of the most beautiful words you can hear are, "I like your quote." To help you hear that more often, the Home Depot has lowered the price of over 1,000 items pros use the most. Latest example, 20% off select special order doors and windows, including Geldwin, Feather River, and Masonite, which can then lead to the four best words of all. You got the job. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. Valid through May 6th in U.S. only. See store for details.
I really want to compliment you.
I want to compliment you.
I'm a conservative, but I really want to compliment you and your show.
Jay Marvin.
Jay Marvin.
This is the Jay Marvin Show.
Jay Marvin Show.
Hey, Jay.
Marvin.
This is the Jay Marvin Show on AM 760 Progressive Talk.
.706, I'm David Sirota filling in for Jay Marvin on AM 760 Progressive Talk. A lot of news today. Do a little bit of a news rundown before we get to our next guest. National news. President Obama left the door open Tuesday to creating a bipartisan commission that would investigate the Bush administration's use of harsh interrogation techniques on terrorism suspects. The remarks, the president's remarks, amounted to a shift for the White House, says the New York Times. The president had repeatedly said that the nation should look forward rather than focusing on the past, and his chief of staff said Sunday in a television interview that Mr. Obama believed that those who devised policy should not be prosecuted. So this is a reversal. We've got news about the banking industry is aggressively lobbying the Treasury Department to make it less costly for banks to get out of the bank bailout program. Credit card CEOs are going to be at the White House on Thursday facing questions and pressure to stop their most predatory behavior. Controversial fertility doctor claimed yesterday to have cloned 14 human embryos. That's so cloning is back in the debate. In the first major disclosure of corruption in the $750 billion bailout program, investigators said that they are opening 20 criminal probes into possible fraud surrounding that bailout. So the ripoff scheme is going to start to come out now. And top recipients of federal bailout money spent more than $10 million on political lobbying in the first 3 months of this year, including aggressive efforts aimed at blocking executive pay limits and tough financial regulation. So they literally recycled our bailout money, taxpayers' bailout money, to lobby against bank regulations. That's the kleptocracy at work. And as we mentioned earlier in the first hour, the Colorado legislature has moved, the House has moved to repeal the death penalty in the state. That bill goes to the state Senate. Stick around in this hour. We're going to be talking to the incoming state Senate president, Brandon Schaefer, about that and a bunch of other issues. He was just elected to the Senate presidency. But first, we're going to go to Rochester Institute of Technology professor Ron Hira, a friend of mine. I asked him to come on after his terrific op-ed in Business Week. And Ron is an expert on immigration policy and specifically on H-1B policy. Now, H-1Bs, because there's been a lot of debate in Colorado about immigration lately, H-1Bs is the program by which companies can bring in foreign labor to this country on a basically on a temporary basis. And the program was created with the idea, it was theoretically created for high-tech employment so that they could bring over, high-tech companies could, if they couldn't find qualified workers, they could bring over to our country foreign workers. And Ron has an editorial in Business Week about the problems in the H-1B program. And so, Ron, thanks for taking the time this morning.
David, thanks for having me on.
Okay, so you've been focused on the H-1B issue for years now. You've written books about it. You've written all about how our immigration policy effectively helps corporations outsource jobs. And what I want to ask you, because this is a lot of listeners to this show are progressive, and so when we get into the immigration debate, what ends up happening is that big money interests who want cheap labor, who want to exploit cheap labor, whether that cheap labor is here in this country or somewhere else, they hide their real goals by claiming that their advocacy for immigration, quote-unquote, reform is humane. And so talk to us a little bit about whether on the H-1B program or in general on immigration policy, how that kind of framework isn't really honest. That many quote-unquote reform efforts, the effort for instance to increase the H-1B program, is not actually humane for immigrants or American workers.
Yeah, I think what a lot of folks don't realize is that there's exploitation not only of low-skilled labor, but also these high-skilled, really guest workers. And what happens is that employers can bring in these guest workers, foreign workers, and the minimum threshold is that they have a bachelor's degree. Now, the problem with the way the system is set up is the employer holds the work permit itself, and so the worker's actually indentured to that employer and cannot change jobs, and that, you know, basically means that they cannot bargain for wages. And because of loopholes in the law and the regulations, firms can actually legally pay below market wages.
I saw a new study that was out this week, right, that was saying that in the H-1B program, what was I reading? That I think it was H-1B workers in the high tech industry are paid at least 6% on average less.
That's a study out of Stern School of Business at NYU and Wharton. It's a working paper that's been out there, but I mean the numbers are really pretty stark. And I'll give you real world examples. I mean, hiring computer programmers for $12 an hour. How many people think that somebody with a bachelor's degree and computer science is worth no more than $12 an hour? And of course, we know that the wages for computer science grads is about $56,000 a year. So you're getting about a $30,000 a year discount on those workers. So there's a big incentive for employers to exploit this program. One is that they're able to pay much below market wages if they want to. And second, that the worker is indentured basically to that employer. And so it really disadvantages both the guest workers who can't bargain, like you and I, for wages, and also American workers who are being replaced and displaced. We also know, for example, that firms use the program and forced their American workers to train guest workers on H-1Bs. And this is not going on in sort of fly-by-night operations. This is common practice amongst major corporations like Pfizer out in Groton, Connecticut, AC Nielsen, the TV ratings company down in Tampa, Florida. So this and even the banks like Wachovia and Charlotte is forcing some of their IT workers, American IT workers, to train H-1B replacement.
We're talking to Ron Hira. He's a professor of public policy at Rochester Institute of Technology and is an expert on outsourcing and immigration policy. He's the co-author of the book Outsourcing America. He's been on Lou Dobbs' show, PBS Now with Bill Moyers. He's one of the guys who's really cited out there in the media on these issues. And the key here is that especially in Colorado, the debate over immigration gets so superheated, and what you end up having is this. On some issues you have this debate polarized, where there are those who say if you don't support quote unquote immigration reform, you're not pro-immigrant, and I put reform in quotes because that's what, look, the Chamber of Commerce, the big money interests, corporate America, they're not interested in reform to help immigrants out of any humane impulse, right? They want cheap labor. And the key here is that the devil is always in the details. On a program like the H-1B program, and the Denver Boulder area is one of the highest concentrations of information workers, one of those pockets of information workers. The H-1B program, the key here is that it's not just not good for American workers, but it's not good for immigrants because, as Ron just said, the visa is in the hands of the employer. So if you ask your employer for a raise, if you want to join a union, if you want to fix up your workplace and your employer doesn't like that, not only can your employer fire you, but getting fired can get you kicked out of the country. Okay, so Professor Ron Hira of the Rochester Institute of Technology, tell us how this program has been justified, because when you hear a lot about the H-1B program and immigration in general, you hear, well, Americans don't want those jobs, and if they do, you hear a lot of rhetoric about the H-1B program supposedly asking employers to look for American workers before they go and hire a lower paid foreign worker. Tell us if that's true, and if it's not true, how people still pretend that it is.
Well, you'll hear corporate executives, people from the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, really present very misleading statements. They claim they only use the H-1B program as a last resort when there's a shortage of American workers. But the reality is there's nothing in the regulations that require firms to demonstrate that there's a shortage, what we would call a labor market test. And one of the big problems is that the media gets these facts wrong over and over. And this is not, you know, again, small media. This is the New York Times getting it wrong, the Wall Street Journal, claiming that the program requires that a shortage be demonstrated, a shortage of American workers be demonstrated. That's absolutely false. And so as a result, people have this misperception that employers would only go to H-1B workers if they're, you know, only when there aren't enough American workers, when in fact employers are going to the H-1B program because they can exploit those workers because they can pay them below market wages. And we know this. Again, they're forcing American workers to train their foreign replacements who are on H-1Bs. The top firms who are getting H-1B are actually offshore outsourcing firms. These are firms that don't hire any Americans. These are firms whose sole business model is basically to ship as many jobs overseas as possible.
We're talking to Rochester Institute of Technology Professor Ron Hira. Ron, you can stick with us through the break?
Sure, I can.
Okay, great. I'm David Sirota, filling in for Jay Marvin here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. We are talking to Ron Hira. He is an expert on immigration issues. And after the next break, in the later part of this hour, we're going to be talking to the new state Senate President, Brandon Schaefer, about all sorts of issues, including the death penalty. And we'll get back to your calls then. But I really wanted to have this discussion about immigration, because as polarized as the debate on immigration has been in Colorado, and it really has been, especially on the tuition equity issue, the issue of giving in-state tuition levels to the children of undocumented workers, as polarized as that debate really was on xenophobic and racial lines, as this immigration, this broader immigration debate starts playing out in Congress. Our senators have told us that it's probably going to start playing out soon. The president announced that it's probably going to start playing out soon. As that comes down the pike, we all need to be educated about what immigration, quote-unquote, reform really means. Because that debate is not going to play out necessarily as simply along xenophobic and racial lines. There is an effort in this country to use the veneer of, quote-unquote, humane reform to create a permanent disempowered underclass of immigrants in this country. It's not good for immigrants, and it's not good for American workers. So stick around. We'll get back to our interview with Ron Hira after we get a traffic update from John Turk.
Thank you, David. Still no accident highways around the metro. We do see some stop-and-go situations starting to build up for us. Southbound 225 from Parker Road down onto the tech center at I-25. On 25, seeing speeds in the teens and 20s. 120th down to 84th, again from about 48th Avenue to 20th Street there. Also busy spots, eastbound Turnpike, Pecos to 25. Eastbound Turnpike, Wadsworth to Platte Canyon. And eastbound 270 really starting to drag now from 76 down to Vasquez. Got some surface street situations, a sinkhole at 10th and Pearl, so got some delays there near Capitol Hill. Also police activity at Broadway and Hamden. Your forecast, mostly sunny and warm, high winds and a small chance for isolated thundershowers this afternoon. Look for a high of 78 right now downtown, checking in at 51 degrees. John Turk, AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
Hurry to 17th and Fillmore for the closeout of the last remaining homes in Tower 1.
Don't open just any door. Open the door to your dream home with the Century 21 Path to Your Dream sweepstakes. One winner will get the chance to win $221,000 towards a new home. Go to century21.com/sweepstakes to enter.
No purchase necessary. Must be 18 or older and legal U.S. resident to enter. Void in Kansas, Missouri, New Jersey, Oklahoma, Rhode Island. Details at century21.com/sweepstakes. Odds money depend on number of entries. Since May 16th, each Century 21 office is independently owned and operated.
.com/KidFest to learn more or to schedule a free solar assessment. Independent Power Systems, the Coors Field solar experts.
Are you still waxing?
Yeah, I know it's painful, but I don't want to cut myself shaving.
Why not smooth away those unwanted hairs?
What?
Smooth Away, the specially designed pad that buffs away unwanted hair in seconds.
But it hurts, right?
No way. That's why it's called Smooth Away. Here, try it.
Wow, that is smooth. It feels soft, like suede.
Exactly. The superfine crystals on the pad gently remove hair and exfoliate dead skin. It's even gentle enough to use on your face.
That's so cool.
No wonder it's the most popular women's product in Europe.
Try Smooth Away completely risk-free. Call 1-800-450-0135. That's 1-800-450-0135.
Wow, look at my legs. Smooth.
Call now to learn how to get a second Smooth Away free. Call 1-800-450-0135. That's 1-800-450-0135. Supplies are limited, so call now.
Hey, Tom Hartman here to tell you about another proud supporter of AM 760, Incredible Smiles. Are you embarrassed about your smile? You can do something about it. At Incredible Smiles, Dr. Lori Kemet blends technology, artistry, and personal care to enhance your smile and improve your dental health. Her team of professionals is known for their cosmetic results. They offer implants to replace missing teeth, fillings, crowns, cleans, partials, as well as dentures. Get your smile back at Incredible Smiles. For a complimentary consultation, call 303-77-SMILE or visit IncredibleSmiles.com.
The Lodge Casino is your first place for winning cash. You could win up to $10,000 on the Super Cash Wheel. Play every Wednesday and Friday from April 8th to May 15th. The Lodge Casino, your number one choice for spinning and winning cash.
Within the Hood, the nation's first student-managed company, is now celebrating its 15-year anniversary. You can purchase all-natural honey mustard or creamy Italian salad dressings at all major retail stores and online at Amazon.com. Buying their salad dressing sends a student to college. Visit foodfromthehood.com for more information.
For the last 8 years, there has been no global warming.
There has been significant global warming year by year.
That's a nice little trick that people on your side use, but you and I both know that's disingenuous.
No, it's not a trick.
Just look at the melting Arctic.
The fact that ice is melting is not proof that global temperatures are going up.
Glacier National Park in the United States in 10 years is no longer going to have the glacier it's had for 10,000 years. And you're saying, oh, there's no global warming?
Tom Hartman, 1-4 on AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
7:24, I'm David Sirota, filling in for J. Marvin, here on AM 760 Progressive Talk, and here on a day that makes you remember why you live on the Front Range. 47 degrees in Denver, going up to 73. Beautiful, beautiful, crystal clear day. We're talking to public policy professor Ron Hira of the Rochester Institute of Technology. He's an expert on outsourcing. He's the co-author of the book Outsourcing America. And we're talking to him about immigration policy. He's an expert on immigration. And in the first segment of this interview, Ron made the point that he made in his Business Week op-ed, basically saying that any immigration reform that puts an immigrant's immigration status in the hands of an employer is not good for the immigrant. It's not just not good for American workers. It's not good for the immigrants. So, Ron, I have to ask you: the immigration debate is about to heat up nationally in Congress, and it's not clear whether it's going to include H-1B reform or not. But in general, what should people be watching out for when this debate comes down the pike? Because people are going to hear a lot of rhetoric on both sides. They're going to hear from right wingers and the sort of build the wall crowd who's going to be completely against this, and then you're going to hear from liberal Democrats who are going to say this is a matter of humanity and we need to let people in because they are fleeing from difficult economic circumstances and we need to be humane. And you're going to hear the Chamber of Commerce and the big money interests basically weigh in with the progressive side of that equation. And what I worry about is that the debate will not really focus in on the real issues that immigration reform needs to be about. So what are going to be, you know, it's always devil in the details. And before I let you answer, I just want to be clear. I'm somebody who thinks that we need more legal immigration in this country. I think we need more legal immigration. I consider myself pro-immigrant, pro-immigration, and I have problems with immigration reform that's bad for both American and foreign workers. So what should we be watching out for?
Well, I think the first thing to watch out for on the high-skill end, and we've got to be careful with these terms because these terms are used sort of in vague ways and in ways that are purposely used to kind of confuse the debate. The H-1B is not a permanent immigration. It's a non-immigrant visa.
It's like a guest worker program for high skilled workers.
Right, and when we say high skill, it really just means somebody with at least a bachelor's degree. Now, many people who come in are very highly skilled, but one in four Americans have a bachelor's degree. So the threshold to get an H-1B is not very high. But it is very much different than having a green card, permanent residence. And when people such as the Chamber of Commerce and various different lobbying groups talk about immigration and then use the term H-1B, they're really trying to pull the wool over your eyes. They're really pushing for temporary workers. And the reason they want those temporary guest workers is that they control them. And so they want to control the process and be able to control those workers. If those workers were instead brought in, as you suggest and as I agree, that we should increase legal permanent immigration at the high school level, those workers then would be able to bargain like you and I.
They become part of the regular workforce.
And they would stay here permanently.
Right. And you make a really good point in some of your writing about how, especially with the H-1B program, that not only does the creation of a temporary workforce, not only is that not good for that temporary workforce, nor for the permanent domestic workforce that has to compete in a downward spiral, a wage-cutting competition with that workforce. Not only is that a bad situation, but we're also effectively offshoring or offloading, exporting our technological industries. When you take a worker, bring them here, train them to do a high-skill information sector job, and don't compel them to stay here, you know, don't compel them as part of that bargain to become a citizen, and they go back, they leave, you basically, as a country, invested in their economic development and then simply watch that investment go away.
Either force them out because the quota for the green cards for legal permanent residents is not high enough. So you've got a large number of H-1Bs here. This is not a small number of workers. This is about 600,000 people here working on H-1Bs. And by the way, we don't know the exact number. But many of them are waiting for permanent residence, waiting for green cards. But they cannot self-sponsor. They have to have their employers sponsor them for a green card. And because the green card quotas are too low, you end up with H-1B workers tethered to their employer for 8 to 10 years waiting for permanent residence.
And so this is the key, folks. The key here is that immigration reform, any immigration reform that ties the immigrant's immigration status, puts that status, all of that, in the hands of the employer, is effectively creating a completely disempowered workforce that the rest of the American workforce has to compete with in a downward spiraling competition. Ron Hira, professor of public policy at Rochester Institute of Technology. He's the author of Outsourcing America. I suggest everybody go out and get that book if you really want to understand this immigration debate. Ron, thanks so much for taking the time.
Thanks for having me on, David.
Okay. That was Ron Hira of the Rochester Institute of Technology debunking some of the immigration debate for us. I'm David Sirota, filling in for Jay Marvin on AM 760 Progressive Talk. It's 7:31 on this beautiful morning. After the break, we're going to be talking to incoming State Senate President Brandon Schaefer, just elected. He's going to be taking that job from Peter Groff, who is, after the legislative session, going off to work in the Obama administration. So we're going to be talking to State Senator Schaefer about the death penalty, about criminal justice reform, about the budget, and about what he wants to achieve. So stick around after this traffic update by John Turk.
Thank you, David. Really dragging on southbound I-25 this morning. Got speeds in the teens and maybe even popping into the 20s. Southbound side, 120th down to 84th. Again, that busy spot around downtown after I-70. Same type conditions leaving Aurora. Southbound 225 Parker Road down to the Tech Center. Also starting to see the turnpike really fill up both sides on the eastbound side from Pecos to 25. And if you're heading westbound, from Sheridan all the way out to Church Ranch. A few surface street things going on. Police activity, Broadway and Hamden. Still got these lane restrictions at 10th and Pearl due to a large sinkhole. And now a new crash, 20th and Blake. Your forecast, sunny to start. Increased clouds this afternoon. Isolated gusty storms as well with little, if any, precipitation. Afternoon highs in the mid to upper 70s. Right now we're sitting at 51 degrees in Denver. John Turk, AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
The drama of the NBA playoffs is on TNT. A dominant performance by the Cavs in Game 1 has Detroit searching for answers. Then, after a sound defeat from the Lakers, can the Jazz bounce back and even the series? Don't miss Pistons-Cavaliers Game 2 and Jazz-Lakers Game 2 tonight at 6 on TNT.
If you listen to AM 760, you can win a VIP meet-and-greet breakfast with Tom.
If you're thinking of designing your own engagement ring, there's only one place to go.
That's Jared!
At Jared the Galleria of Jewelry, it's easy to create a ring that's yours and yours alone. First, choose from hundreds of beautiful settings in platinum or gold. Then select from the thousands of certified diamonds at Jared in a wide variety of shapes and sizes. You'll have the ring only you could create.
It can only be Jared!
Find a Jared store or shop anytime at Jared.com.
Instant estimate of the cost. It's one more way AAA Home Improvements puts experience and quality on your side. Log on to AAAHomeImprovements.com. It's that easy to get started.
Hi, this is Jay Marvin. If I know about something great, you know I have to share it. And that's how I feel about Rocky's Autos. Rocky's Autos has the largest selection of clean, late model used cars, trucks, minivans, vans, and SUVs in Colorado. Over 500 units on the lot, and they've got everything you can think of. Ford, Chevy, Dodge, Nissan, Toyota, Honda, Saab, Pontiac, Volkswagen, Mercedes-Benz, Jaguar. I mean, they've got it all. And these are the kind of things I hear about Rockies all the time.
I did go up to Rockies. It was the best experience I ever had of buying a car. I bought a lot of cars in my life. Just the whole experience, I can tell you, was awesome.
I want to put a plug in for Rockies. We bought that car. We bought it cheap, and it was worth a whole lot more. My next vehicle is going to be from them again, I guarantee you.
That's Rockies Autos, open Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. Get out there and see them in person. Rockies Autos, located at the corner of 63rd and Federal, just north of I-76, just south of the Boulder Turnpike.
There's something special about neighborhood dining. The atmosphere is more relaxed and casual, the staff is attentive and friendly, prices are affordable, and after your second visit, you become part of the family. Such is the case with Shells and Sauce, a small Italian bistro in the Congress Park neighborhood where the Pappas family has been doing business on the same block for over 25 years. The menu features a wide variety of pasta dishes, along with entrees of traditional chicken, eggplant or veal parmesan, linguine with fresh clams, balsamic glazed salmon steak, piccata of chicken, salmon or veal chop, and a grilled pork chop, as well as Marsala-style chicken or veal chop. Everything is made from scratch. They offer a full bar service and a mostly Italian wine list. Located at 2600 East 12th Avenue at Elizabeth, Shells and Sauce opens at 3 p.m. for happy hour, serving dinner every night but Monday, with brunch from 10 to 3 on Saturday and Sunday. It's a great spot for neighborhood dining, even if you don't live in the neighborhood. Call 303-377-2091.
Three cheers to the folks at Food from the Hood, who are celebrating 15 years of business. Food from the Hood? Yes, Food from the Hood. It's a company entirely run by students. We handle the business aspect while producing our salad dressings straight from the garden. After L.A. felt the chaos from the riots back in 1994, students from the community decided they wanted to make a difference. They launched a company called Food from the Hood, which helps students afford to go to college. How? By producing and selling all natural salad dressings. Our products sit on the shelves of many major retail stores across the nation and online at Amazon.com. Each flavor, whether honey mustard or creamy Italian, are low in fat and all natural, so you have nothing to lose. Loyal customers have been buying our dressing and sending us to college for 15 years. So happy anniversary to Food from the Hood. Pick up a bottle or two at your nearest retailer and help us celebrate. Want more information? Visit us online at foodfromthehood.com. That's foodfromthehood.com. Or call our office at 323-759-7000.
It's 737. I'm David Sirota, filling in for Jay Marvin on AM 760 Progressive Talk. Now, as promised, we have on the line State Senator Brandon Schaefer. He is the new incoming State Senate President, who will be replacing State Senate President Peter Groff when Peter Groff goes off to be a top official in the Obama administration after the end of the legislative session. So thank you for taking the time this morning, Brandon.
You bet. Thanks for having me on, David.
Yeah. So this was a big deal. There was a lot of people running for the state Senate presidency after Peter Groff said that he that he was going to go take a top job in the Obama administration. Before we get into the details of some of the issues coming down the pike in the state Senate, just tell us what kind of mark you want to put on this office. It's one of the most important, most powerful offices in the state government here. So what is your particular mark that you want to put on this office, and what do you want to do with this office?
There are a couple different ways to respond to that. I think most importantly, the president of the Senate is a nonpartisan position. Typically, the majority leader's job is to stick up for the majority party, whether that's Democrat or Republican. The president of the Senate presides over the entire body. So the president of the Senate's job is to try to make bipartisan legislation, bipartisan peace as we move forward with policy discussions down here. So that's one thing. I want to be even-handed and fair to everybody who's moving legislation and policy through the process. Bigger picture, I think the state right now, really the entire nation, is looking for some stability with our economic situation. I think stability, predictability, confidence are all things that I hope to help instill in our economic situation in the short term and frankly in the long term as well.
We're talking to State Senator Brandon Schaefer. He is the incoming State Senate President after a vote, a recent vote. State Senator, the current State Senate President, Peter Groff, is going to take a top job in the Obama administration after the end of this legislative session. Speaking about the economy, obviously the state is in serious fiscal straits. It's got deficit issues, budget issues. There has been a proposal to cut $300 million out of higher education. Where are we right now in the budget negotiations? What should people be watching out for, worried about? What is going to happen? What's the big message out of this budget?
Well, first and foremost, let's make sure everyone knows that $300 million from higher education is off the table. Governor Ritter stepped in and said that's not an option. The reason it was discussed, if you look at all of the different mandated programs and services for the state, whether it's, you know, prisons or whether it's Medicaid or whether it's K-12 funding, the only area that we have any significant room, discretionary spending-wise, is in our higher education budget. And that's why it was in the crosshairs when we're talking about our current budget situation. However, we all understand how important higher education is to re-stimulating our economy and getting us back on track from a fiscal perspective. Nobody felt comfortable going in and taking that amount of money out of higher education. So we went back and retooled. Unfortunately, there really are just no good places to go anymore. Colorado is one of the leanest states in the nation. We have one of the lowest state tax burdens of any state in the nation. And so we go a long way with very little here at the state level. We'll go in and take a look at provider reimbursement rates for Medicaid. That's going to be one of the most difficult conversations we have down here. There is some discretion on how much the state reimburses doctors who provide services to patients who are on Medicaid. We also have a couple of revolving loan funds for water projects in the state. Of course, water is such a controversial issue for Colorado. However, there may be some ability to refinance some of those projects and pull some money out to fill that $300 million hole. We are also looking at refinancing certain provisions of the School Finance Act that are not mandated under Amendment 23, free up some money that way. The bottom line is there are no good solutions right now. One of the things that I plan to do this summer is convene a group, business holders or business interests, as well as healthcare providers, as well as legislators and policymakers, to sit down and have a serious conversation about long-term fiscal policy and fiscal reform. One of the real benefits of the referendum C conversation is a five-year timeout from the Tabor limit. The first year after referendum C passed, we as a legislature sat down and took a five-year perspective on, okay, how do we want to budget this money? How do we want to spend this money over the next 5 years? It was the first time we had actually had that long-term strategic plan and conversation down here. Unfortunately, we didn't come back in year two and year three and readjust. I want to get back in that habit of sitting down, taking a longer-term perspective, having a strategic plan for the finances of the state to make sure we're never in this situation
again. Wow, you're like a real radical. You actually want to do some long-term planning.
When you talk about stability and predictability and confidence, those are the things that we need in order to get our economy back on track. You've got to have a plan in place. And right now, we go from year to year to year, and that is a very difficult way to run a business. It's no way to run a business, frankly. We've got to do a better job.
We're talking to incoming State Senate President Brandon Schaefer. He will be replacing the current State Senate President Peter Groff at the end of the legislative session. Peter Groff is going off to be a top administration official in the Obama administration at the Education Department. And just to round out your thought on the budget, I just want to remind people that in the Denver Post business section, there's a story today that Governor Bill Ritter signed a bill that supporters said will enact the largest expansion of health care coverage for the uninsured in Colorado, using a hospital fee, matching that new money with a federal matching money to add $600 million to the budget. So the folks down at the legislature are looking for every innovative and creative way to increase revenue. And I think I congratulate you and the Democrats for, even in lean times, finding that way to increase healthcare, the healthcare coverage. Let me ask you about two issues coming down the pike into the State Senate right now. Obviously, on the front page of the Denver Post. Oh, did we lose him? We lost him. Well, see if we can get him back. Well, we'll try to get him back. I guess we're going to call him right back. I was going to ask him, we're going to ask him about this death penalty issue. Do you want to take a break? Why don't we take a break, and we'll come back, and we'll ask, when we get State Senator Brandon Schaefer back on the line, we'll ask him about the death penalty issue. Let's go to John Turk with traffic.
Thank you, David. Traffic is pretty normal for us. The highways have been in pretty decent shape for us all morning long. Seen some stop and go now on 270 heading into downtown. 25 to Vasquez, really busy in that stretch. Also on 25 heading southbound into downtown. Also seeing some slow speed southbound 225. Parker Road down to the Tech Center, and our surface street situations keep on getting a little worse. Got a two-vehicle accident, 20th and Blake. Police activity at Broadway and Hamden, that's been around for most of the morning. Also an accident on the diagonal near Hoover, and lane restrictions in place at 10th and Pearl near Capitol Hill due to a large sinkhole. But that's about it going on around town today. Looks like a pretty normal Wednesday morning commute. Your forecast, sunny to start, increased clouds this afternoon. Going to be a little windy, too. Possible rain, shouldn't be see much precipitation in Denver. Afternoon highs in the mid to upper 70s. Right now, 51 degrees in Denver. John Turk, AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
Ryland Homes is giving you more new home purchase power. Now through April 26th, take advantage of special incentives that could save you thousands. Only during the Purchase Power Advantage sales event. Log on to Ryland.com now. Restrictions apply. Equal housing opportunity.
This handshake that President Obama...
Interested in learning more about solar and helping the environment? Then join Independent Power Systems at Party for the Planet Kids Fest at the Denver Aquarium. Party for the Planet is the American Zoo Association's official Earth Day celebration. Kids Fest is this Saturday, April 25th at the Denver Aquarium from 10 to 4. Visit solarips.com/kidfest to learn more or to schedule a free solar assessment. Independent Power Systems, the Coors Field solar experts.
Dad, the toilet's angry again.
Is your math homework down there?
No, Dad, it always gurgles. Why don't you call Drain Solvers, the people that make you smile? They're having a $79 special to look into the sewer line.
Well, that's right. It was $279. Now it's just $79. Good call, sweetheart.
Don't let plumbing problems dampen your day. Drain Solvers has an incredible $79 special to check your pipes. Drain Solvers is a member of the Tom Martino Troubleshooter Network.
How can we make you smile? Call Drain Solvers, 303-423-1000.
Hey, it's Tom Hartman here to tell you about another proud supporter of AM 760, Incredible Smiles. Do you have missing teeth? Get a permanent solution. Dr. Lori Kemet and her associates at Incredible Smiles have new scanning technology to accurately place implants in the densest part of the bone without the need for exploratory incisions. Eliminate loose partials or painful dentures. Replace missing teeth without bridges. Get incredible implants at Incredible Smiles. Call now for a complimentary consultation. 303-77-SMILE or visit IncredibleSmiles.com.
7:48, now's the time we talk to Mike Spear, the Executive Vice President of Presidential Brokerage. You can reach him at 303-749-2770. Again, 303-749-2770. We ask him every day at this time to give us an update in the market, and I'm always crossing my fingers for good news. All right, Mike, what do you got for us?
Well, we've got some pretty good earnings in, if that helps out at all today, David. AT&T beat their earnings estimates.
by about a nickel a share. Boeing did not beat their earnings. They missed by about 5 cents a share. Continental Airlines, well, they lost less than what was expected, so kind of a mixed bag. McDonald's did beat, so there's some good news. The market's off just a little bit today, down 61 on the Dow. NASDAQ's down 8, S&P's down 7 3/4. One thing we are doing is a free upcoming workshop on the 7th and the 9th of May. That's Thursday evening and Saturday morning. And we're going to show you how we have navigated the waters of this crazy market and show you our strategies. Nothing to sell, just we want to tell you what we're doing and what we're thinking, and it might help you whether you work with Presidential or not. It's free. If you'd like to come and get more information, give us a holler. The last one we had about 6 weeks ago, David, we have had over 100 people at each one, and it was just about standing room. It was very, very busy. So if you'd like to come, give us a call. Get on the list right now before it fills up. It's the 7th and the 9th of May, just 2 weeks away.
The 7th and the 9th of May. Again, 303-749-2770. I encourage everybody to go and check that out. The better educated you are on financial issues, the better you will do. Mike Spear, thanks so much. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
You bet. Thanks, David.
You know that virtually all replacement windows are tested and rated for energy efficiency before they are offered for sale to the public? Colorado Window Source strongly urges consumers to beware of other companies out there that are misleading you to think you're getting something of value almost given to you. Hi, this is Leo from Colorado Window Source. My partners, Kurt, Scott, and I offer true pricing. Our best price, the first time, all the time. No gimmicks, no false discounts, no pressure. Colorado Window Source is your premier provider for replacement windows, siding, patio, and entry doors. By the way, the government is giving money away. Take advantage of the stimulus plan tax credit, and we will match your credit up to the maximum of $1,500. Call out the Colorado Window Source, stimulate and maximize your savings program. We have the best pricing, great referrals, Gold Star No Complaints Award from the BBB, proud member of Tom Martino's referral list, and our service is backed by our exclusive true warranty. So give us a call at 720-200-2700 or click on ColoradoWindowSource.com or stop by our showroom on the southwest corner of County Line and Quebec in Highlands Ranch.
Spring is here, and now is the perfect time to buy new trees for your yard. Creekside Tree Nursery is fully stocked with fruit trees, and during their fruit tree sale, prices start at only $66 per tree. Spend $500 or more and get free delivery in most areas of Boulder County. Save money, increase the value of your home, and make your yard a living investment. Call 303-668-7647 or visit creeksideboulder.com.
752, I'm David Sirota filling in for Jay Marvin. Jay, if you're listening, hang in there. Keep fighting the good fight. We got State Senate President, or incoming State Senate President, Brandon Schaefer back on the line with us. Live radio. Sometimes it happens. So what I wanted to ask you before the break, and I'll ask you now, is a couple of things coming through the legislature right now that are budget related. There are the whole issue of criminal justice reform. We've got two big stories today. The AP reports that the sentencing reform measure, and we talked about that here on this show on Monday, the effort to do some sentencing reform dealing with lessening sentences for nonviolent drug offenders. It met with opposition from DAs, and the AP reports that that bill is basically not going to move this year. Now, simultaneously, the very front page of the Denver Post, above the fold, the House passes, the state House passes a bill by one vote to eliminate and end the death penalty, take the money saved from ending the death penalty, and put it into new investigations into cold cases. So where does the death penalty bill stand in the state Senate? What do you think is going to happen to it in the state Senate? And then why did the criminal justice, the sentencing reform bill, go down?
Well, first of all, let me apologize. I think my cell phone clicked out on you before.
So no problem.
Sorry about that.
No problem.
Let me take the second question first, the criminal justice reform. That is absolutely the right conversation for us to have, and I think that bill came forward out of a sense of frustration for this Justice Reform Commission that the governor set up in 2007. Here we are in 2009, and we haven't had that many major reforms come out of the commission. So know Senator Morse and Senator Carroll, passionate on the issue, very knowledgeable on the issue, sat down and went through the statute books to make some changes there. I think that ultimately, to go down that road, we need to have a more comprehensive and inclusive conversation around reforms. And I think that the message was delivered loud and clear to the district attorneys and other groups that are involved in that conversation that, look, we're looking at getting recommendations going into the 2010 legislative session, and you know, we want to make sure that you stay on track. So the bill that was introduced will become kind of a benchmark bill where we will put some deadlines in place, say we want you to come up with nonviolent reform of nonviolent sentencing before 2010, so we can go into that session with a well thought out approach to sentence reform in that area specifically. So that's why we pulled it back. We think that we'll have something that's very constructive going into the next legislative session. The death penalty bill, this is the second year in a row that Representative Weissman has run it. Last year he did not get it out of the House. This year he did, as you have noted. Representative Weissman and I just personally are very good friends. I've known him for a long time now. We had a long conversation about the bill yesterday. I don't know where it goes in the Senate. Frankly, I haven't gone around and surveyed my members to see what the level of support of that measure is. I do know that there are several people in the Senate right now who are very supportive, but you need 18 in order to get it through the process or get it out of the Senate. We will likely start that in the Judiciary Committee. I think that's the appropriate place to start it. Senator Carroll is the Senate sponsor of that bill. She's also the Vice Chair of Judiciary. So you know, that conversation will come up probably early next week, and we'll see where it goes.
Where do you come down on it?
Well, I've always thought that there are certain crimes out there that you need to have the death penalty in place in order to deal with them correctly. So that's been my position, and we'll see where that conversation goes this year.
So if I hear you right, and I'm not trying to. Well, I guess I am trying to pin you down. So if I hear you right, you're inclined not to be for this.
I voted, I'm on the record last year with statements against it, and I would likely vote against it this year if it makes it to the floor. But you have to listen to the testimony, you have to listen to the debate before you make a final decision. Let me, in saying that, let me share with you that my dad was one of the first public defenders in the state of Colorado. And before he passed in 2001, he and I had a lot of conversations around this issue in particular.
I bet you did.
He was very passionately against the death penalty. You know, it's not something that I take lightly.
Really quickly, 10 seconds, the criminal justice reform issue, is it being driven mainly by budget questions now?
Part of it, to be real honest, that's part of it. The other part of it, I think, is a realization that we just can't incarcerate everybody.
Right.
And when you look at drug offenses, certain minor possession offenses, the whole tough on crime rhetoric of the 80s is now coming back to bite us.
That's right. That's right. And I got to get to a break. I got to get to the top of the news. State Senator Brandon Schaefer, thank you so much for taking the time today.
Hey, thank you very much.
Good talking to you.
Bye-bye.
All right. More after the news.
Now there's a lot of ways you can stay connected to us. You can
Men, did you know your prostate can affect your quality of life? It can affect your urine flow and stream. And let's be honest, it might even affect intimacy. Don't ignore the importance of your prostate. See your doctor for checkups and take Beta Prostate. Beta Prostate is a natural supplement that works with your body to support prostate health and normal urine flow. It's so powerful, you'd have to take 100 saw palmetto capsules in order to get the same natural plant sterols as one Beta Prostate. Try it risk-free for 30 days and give your prostate targeted nutrition. For a risk-free trial of Beta Prostate, call 1-800-491-8149. That's 1-800-491-8149. Don't put off this important phone call. With Beta Prostate, your satisfaction is guaranteed or you get your money back. Call 1-800-491-8149. That's 1-800-491-8149.
Time and money to get their financial house in order. And let the people choose how to best spend, save, and invest their own money. Learn more at SaveOurEconomy.com. Paid for by SaveOurEconomy.com.
AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk. KKZN, Thornton, Denver, Boulder. On your iPhone, BlackBerry, and AM760.net.
CBS News. I'm Steve Kathan. David Kellerman took over as Freddie Mac's acting chief financial officer last September. This morning, he's dead, an apparent suicide in the basement of his home. WTOP Radio's Neil Augenstein is working the story in Northern Virginia.
Neighbors have been driving by wondering why there were police officers here when they've been told. Some of them have just looked shocked. One woman just drove by, apparently knowing the victim, and she shrieked when she heard that David Kellerman apparently killed himself.
Freddie Mac has been one of the symbols of the financial meltdown, the lender losing close to $24 billion the last 3 months of last year. The latest foreclosure report says the 26 cities with the top rates are in four states, California, Nevada, Arizona, and Florida. CBS's Peter King says one Florida county isn't waiting for an economic turnaround.
St. Lucie County has declared an economic emergency. County Administrator Faye Outlaw.
Our job base was tied into construction. That has impacted our unemployment rate, which is about 10.5%.
A new Realty Track report says St. Lucie County has the country's 10th highest metropolitan area foreclosure rate. Unemployment in the construction industry there may be as high as 40%. County commissioners have allocated $25 to $30 million to try to revitalize it. Peter King, CBS News, Orlando.
In the classroom, a new national study finds one in four teens drops out of high school in this country.
It's almost a 20 percentage point difference between how the urban systems perform and how the students in the suburbs perform.
Marguerite Kondracki of America's Promise Alliance says the dropout situation has gotten worse in many big cities like Las Vegas and Omaha, but it has improved in Philadelphia, Tucson, and Kansas City, Missouri. The Army colonel, demoted because of what happened at the Abu Ghraib prison in Iraq, says those who carried out harsh techniques were scapegoats.
Scapegoat is the perfect word, and it's an understatement.
Janice Karpinski on the CBS Early Show says those who devised the policies should be punished. President Obama has now suggested they could face prosecution. President Obama uses Earth Day today to make the case for more alternative energy. He'll go to an Iowa plant that used to make washers and dryers and now makes towers for wind turbines. On Capitol Hill, CBS's Bob Fuss tells us...
On this Earth Day, a House committee hears from the first of dozens of witnesses as it begins to consider a sweeping energy bill to combat global warming and reduce dependence on oil. Massachusetts Democrat Ed Markey.
The time for delay and denial and inaction has come to an end.
The proposed bill would cap emissions and require a switch to cleaner fuels for utilities. Texas Republican Ralph Hall is opposed.
What would regulations mean for electricity rates? Are these costs we're willing to accept?
Bob Fuss, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
Earnings report from another big bank. Morgan Stanley lost more than expected in the first quarter, $578 million. The recession sent more people out for a cheap meal. McDonald's profit climbed 4%. The Dow is down 24. This is CBS News.
If you're a contractor, four of the most beautiful words you can hear are, "I like your quote." To help you hear that more often, the Home Depot has lowered the price of over 1,000 items pros use the most. Latest example, 20% off select special order doors and windows, including Geldwin, Feather River, and Masonite. Which can then lead to the four best words of all, "You got the job." More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. Valid through May 6th in U.S. only. See store for details.
Ahoy there.
Hey, buddy, glad you could make it. Come on aboard.
I thought the two of us were going fishing. Who are all these people?
Shh, paparazzi.
Paparazzi?
Yeah, paparazzi. Geico helped me save so much money on my boat insurance, I paid these people to treat me like a celebrity.
Huh, good move.
Saving you money on your boat insurance is our business. What you do with the money is your business. Geico Power Sports. Insurance for your car and the other stuff that moves you.
I'm David Kao with an AM 760 local news update. The ski train to Winter Park off the rails for good. The train's been sold to a Canadian company and won't run its summer schedule. Governor Ritter.
There's so much history in that train. I've only been able to ride it a couple of times on occasions when I've ridden it. It's thoroughly enjoyable. What a great way to cut to, you know, the mountains and get back on a ski day.
Ritter speaking this morning. The so-called Winter Park ski train ran for 69 years from Union Station up to Winter Park. Closing statements are expected this morning in the case of a Greeley man accused of beating a transgender woman to death. 32-year-old Alan Andrade is accused of beating to death 18-year-old Angie Zapata. It's Earth Day, and this local man hopes people think about energy use.
We use too much of it without thinking about the consequences.
Boulder cabs are stepping up to Earth Day. Yellow cab riders in Boulder today who get one of the company's three Prius hybrids will also get a free ride. The Boulder Daily Camera reports if a regular cab shows up, you pay regular rates. And former Denver Broncos mascot Thunder has died after surgery. The Arabian Stallion appeared in two Super Bowls and was mascot for the Broncos from 1993 to 2003. Sports, Nuggets Hornets game two tonight at Pepsi Center, and the Rockies beat the D-backs 9-6. They finished that series with Arizona this afternoon. That's your AM 760 Progressive Talk News update. I'm David Kao. Now Todd Parker with your AM 760 Progressive Traffic.
That's where we're getting word of a new accident. This is on the eastbound side of I-70 just east of Pecos. Could try to hang you up as you're trying to get onto I-25. There's also a crash on 225. This is on the southbound side at 6th Avenue. Now we're seeing lots of congestion on the eastbound side of C-470 Wadsworth to Santa Fe. Then eases up a little bit, but then slows again right around Broadway, taking you towards Quebec. Southbounders on I-25, still feeling it downtown. Eastbound 270, dragging I-25 to Vasquez. I'm Todd Parker, AM 760, Progressive Talk.
At the freeway, we do deals your way every day. After rebates, get a brand new Escape or F-150 for just $15,900. That's a brand new Escape or F-150 for only $15,900. Freeway Ford, I-25 in Evans, Longmont Ford, 3rd and Alpine, or cheaperfords.com.
If you're a contractor, four of the most beautiful words you can hear are, "I like your quote." To help you hear that more often, the Home Depot has lowered the price of over 1,000 items pros use the most. Latest example, 20% off select special order doors and windows, including Jeldwin, Feather River, and Masonite, which can then lead to the four best words of all. You got the job. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. Valid through May 6th in U.S. only. See store for details.
Jay Marvin. This is the Jay Marvin Show.
Jay Marvin Show.
Hey, Jay.
Jay Marvin.
This is the Jay Marvin Show on AM 760 Progressive Talk.
807, I'm David Sirota, filling in for Jay Marvin on AM 760 Progressive Talk. 47 degrees in Denver, going up to 73. One of those days that makes you thrilled to live on the Front Range. Thrilled to live in the American West. No humidity. Love that. The one person I know who's not so psyched about this nice weather is my dog, Monty. He likes very, very cold weather. It's one of those dogs that no matter how much you shave him down, he doesn't get cold. He never gets cold. It's very strange. And what's strange to me about that is that not only is he never gets cold outside, he never seems overheated inside. It's kind of weird. Like, I don't understand how that works. National news update. I'll do a national news update for you, and then I'll do a local news update for you, and then we're going to get back to it. In national news, President Obama left the door open this week to creating a bipartisan commission that would investigate the Bush administration's use of interrogation techniques, torture techniques. This declaration that there might be an investigation is a reversal of comments made only a couple days ago from the administration where they said that they didn't want to prosecute anybody. They didn't want to investigate anybody. So this is a reversal, and it's a good one. I'm glad it's happening. We need to be looking into who broke what laws. If you don't do that, you create legal precedents that say breaking laws is fine. Wall Street Journal reports that the banking industry is aggressively lobbying the Treasury Department to make it less costly for financial institutions to get out of the troubled asset relief program, basically to get out of the bailout program. The banks have to buy back the what's called warrants that we, the taxpayers, bought from them. And the banks don't want to have to pay that. And here's the biggest joke of it all. You're not going to believe this. I'm reading from the story. Bankers say it's unfair to charge what amounts to a prepayment penalty. These are some of the same banks that have credit card companies. And they're complaining about prepayment penalties. What a joke. I mean, really, what a joke. An even bigger joke. Here's a bigger joke for you. Congresswoman Jane Harman of California is ensnared in what critics say was the very danger of the warrantless wiretapping legislation she supported. Harman led the charge among Democrats for expanded surveillance powers for the Bush administration, despite the arguments of her liberal colleagues that U.S. citizens would be improperly targeted in the surveillance program. Now, Harman has been eavesdropped on. NSA wiretapping recordings have come out showing that Harman potentially tried to trade her own lobbying for less punishment on espionage targets for help from a campaign contributor. And she's complaining, incredibly, she's complaining that she was unduly spied upon. In the program, the warrantless wiretapping program that she supported. And here's, if you want something that's going to drive you nuts, it's going to blow your mind. The New York Times reports that Harman, as chairwoman of the Intelligence Committee, ranking Democrat on the Intelligence Committee, called up the New York Times in 2004 and told them not to run a story exposing the warrantless wiretapping program. This happened, if you can believe it, this happened in 2004, before the election. The election was decided by such a close margin that I submit to you, if that story, that warrantless wiretapping story, had come out before the election, John Kerry would have been the president. A controversial fertility doctor claimed yesterday to have cloned 14 human embryos and transferred 11 of them into the wombs of four women who had been prepared to give birth to cloned babies. So cloning back on the agenda. Back to the bailout. The LA Times reports that in the first major disclosure of corruption in the $750 billion bailout, federal investigators said Monday they have opened 20 criminal probes into possible securities fraud, tax violations, insider trading, and other crimes. The cases represent only the first wave of investigations, and the total fraud could ultimately reach into the tens of billions of dollars. Remember, all the people who opposed the bailout were called crazy and extreme and leftist for saying that this was going to be one huge slush fund? Well, that's come true, unfortunately. Washington Post, top recipients of federal bailout money spent more than $10 million on political lobbying in the first 3 months of this year, including aggressive efforts aimed at blocking executive pay limits and tougher financial regulations. So your taxpayer money is going to subsidize the lobbying by banks against tougher regulation. In local news, AP reports, facing opposition from district attorneys and the governor, Colorado lawmakers are dropping a plan to overhaul sentencing laws this year. We talked about that on Monday, and we just had on incoming State Senate President Brandon Schaefer to explain why they're dropping that. He insists that this bill was a shot across the bow of the governor's commission on criminal justice reform. The commission has not offered up any real recommendations, and the bill was basically introduced as a measure to compel that commission to do its job. And State Senator Schaefer, who is the new incoming state senate president, said that criminal justice reform is not dead in this state, not by a long shot. Some more local news. The Fort Collins, Colorado reports that a new law signed by Governor Ritter aims to give drivers more warning when cities such as Fort Collins decide to use photo radar systems to monitor traffic speeds and red light violations. New poll, favorability ratings for President Obama and Senator Mark Udall in Colorado have fallen beneath 50%. A survey by Public Policy Polling found 49% of Colorado voters approve of Obama's performance compared to 41% who do not. Udall found support from just 41% of respondents, with 46% disapproving. That is, those numbers are awful. Really, really, those are bad numbers. Pueblo County School District voted down its controversial proposal to create a 4-day school week rather than a 5-day school week. AP reports a United Airlines official says an airliner leaving BWI last night for Denver was hit by lightning, and the plane landed safely, but a scare for a lot of Denver residents there. And now back to, we're going to reopen the debate on the death penalty. We're going to reopen the AM760 Progressive Dojo. It is reopened now. The House in Colorado passes a bill by one vote to repeal the death penalty in Colorado, take the money saved from that repeal, and put it into investigating cold cases. What do you think about this? 303-713-7600. Again, 303-713-7600. Before we get back to the debate, I want to play this clip from Attorney General John Southers, because I got a real problem with this clip.
My basic argument has always been the people of Colorado voted twice, 1966, 1974, overwhelmingly approved it. And it's my position that if the legislature thinks they've changed their mind, we ought to ask them.
So that was Attorney General John Southers on the death penalty vote. Now, here's my problem. Why is it always that Republicans, whenever a vote doesn't go the way they want it, they indict the process? Why is that? And by this I mean, if a legislature passes something that Republicans don't like, they try to say that the legislature is illegitimate and that we need to get a vote. We need to get a vote on the ballot. When a court does something that Republicans and conservatives don't like, they say, no, the legislature needs to pass it. It's so dishonest, right? Courts, legislatures, ballot initiatives, these are all expressions of democracy. They're all democratically accountable. I think it's really gross when you disagree with something that happened in the democratic process to try to undermine the legitimacy of that democratic institution. And right here, what we have is Attorney General John Southers basically saying that the Colorado legislature, which is a representative of the people, has no right to make laws, has no right to weigh in on this issue. That to me is the most rank, most dishonest, most disingenuous, pathetic tactic. Fine. Attorney General Southers doesn't support repealing the death penalty. That's fine. That's his right. But I don't think it should be his right as a constitutional officer in this state to effectively undermine or try to undermine the legitimacy of the legislature, the legitimacy of a really important democratic institution in our state. So that's really my problem with what Southers is trying to do. And it, by the way, it's classic. This is what Republicans do, right? Especially on an issue like gay marriage, right? Gay marriage passes a court. Oh, no. Legislature needs to pass it. Then the Vermont legislature passes it. No. We need a vote of the people. It's pathetic. We live in a democracy, in a functioning, complex democracy. Every arm of democracy is legitimate. I don't agree with what certain legislatures do, certain courts do. I don't agree with ballot initiatives, but I don't say that those are illegitimate. Conservatives, they got no scruples. When they don't agree with something, they'll not only state their opposition, they'll actually try to undermine our confidence in the basic legitimacy of the democratic institution. All right, we'll take one call before we go to the break. The AM760 Progressive Dojo is open. Let's go to Steve in Denver. Steve.
Hey, stop bad-mouthing Southers.
You know, if he wants to shoot the messenger, let him shoot him.
I just think it's there's no principle. It's not good for democracy if you've got constitutional officers, elected officials saying elected officials are not legitimate. That's just, there's just something wrong with that.
I totally agree. I think, you know, they're all in favor of the messenger as long as they like the message.
That's exactly right. That's the problem. I mean, that look, in a democracy, sometimes things go the way you want it, sometimes they don't. But don't. When it doesn't go your way, don't try to undermine everybody's confidence in the whole process.
I totally agree. If Southers or Udall don't want to listen to the messengers, and I'm sorry I had a group Udall in there, then they don't need to be in office anymore.
Right. I mean, and I'll put it this way. John Southers, I mean, at some point, somebody's going to say the same thing to John Southers, right? Somebody's going to say, you know, you're the attorney general. You don't have a right to... You know, your rulings, the stuff you're putting out, it's not legitimate. That's not healthy. I won't support that when that happens. Thanks for the call. Sorry to cut it close, but I gotta get to a break. 8:20, I'm David Sirota filling in for Jay Marvin on AM 760 Progressive Talk. 303-713-7600 is the number. We're talking about the death penalty. Do you support or oppose the attempt in the Colorado legislature to repeal Colorado's death penalty? We heard in the last hour from the incoming state Senate president, Brandon Schaefer, as the bill moves to the Senate, he said he opposes it. It passed the House by one vote, but he said he doesn't know how it's going to turn out. And excuse me, I don't want to mischaracterize Brandon Schaefer. He didn't say he opposes this bill. He said he's going to listen to testimony on it, but he has said that he has opposed bills like it in the past. So, State Senator Schaefer, I didn't mean to mischaracterize you. But he said it's going to be a thoughtful process. It's going to be a big deliberation in the State Senate. So what do you think? What do you want the State Senate to do? 303-713-7600. I'm David Sirota filling in for Jay Marvin on AM 760 Progressive Talk. Let's go to John Turk. Traffic.
Our first highway accidents of the morning, Dave. Accident southbound 225 6th Avenue. Gonna see brake lights all the way back around I-70 once you hop on 225 there. Also busy stop and go after Parker Road down to the Tech Center. Also working a crash eastbound I-70 around Pecos, and you are going to see some small delays back to Sheridan coming in that way. And our stop-and-go traffic this morning, eastbound C-470 in Littleton, Wadsworth to Santa Fe, really a struggle right now. It's also busy coming out of North Glen and Thornton, 120th, down to 84th, also stop-and-go after I-70. Eastbound 270, also sluggish for us right now, 25 to Vasquez, showing speeds in the teens. And we got a few surface street accidents out there. Potomac and Mississippi, one at Alameda and Platte River Drive, one at Lincoln and Spear, a hit-and-run accident investigation, Alameda and Federal, and we're still working police activity at Broadway and Hamden. Your forecast, mostly sunny and warm with high winds and a small chance for isolated thundershowers this afternoon. Look for a high around 78. Right now, downtown checking in at 56 degrees. John Turk, AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
The drama of the NBA playoffs is on TNT.
Spring is here, and now is the perfect time to buy new trees for your yard. Creekside Tree Nursery is fully stocked with fruit trees, and during their fruit tree sale, prices start at only $66 per tree. Spend $500 or more and get free delivery in most areas of Boulder County. Save money, increase the value of your home, and make your yard a living investment. Call 303-668-7647 or visit creeksideboulder.com.
Three cheers for four-legged creatures. And for the moms who clean up the muddy footprints and cat food stuck on the floor. Because even though your kids said they would, you knew they wouldn't. So when they asked for a pet, you still said, bring it. You're why we made New Bounty, with 25% thicker quilts and more durability than before. New Bounty. To see if you can clean the mess with less, go to quickerpickerupper.com.
Hello, I'm your eye.
And I'm your nose, with something very important to discuss with you this allergy season.
That's right. Nose and I, we both suffer from seasonal allergy symptoms, so we want to be treated together.
That's why we want you to ask your, well, our doctor about Veramist nasal spray. Prescription Veramist fluticasone furoate is one medicine that's FDA approved to treat both seasonal nasal
and seasonal eye symptoms in patients 12 and older.
Veramist treats me when I'm runny, stuffy, itchy, and sneezing.
Plus, treats my watery, itchy red eyes. Veramist is one medicine approved to treat all that.
For best results, use once daily. Side effects may include nosebleed, nasal sores, or nasal fungal infection. Eye problems, including glaucoma or cataracts, may occur. So have regular eye exams. Results may vary. Maximum benefit may take several days. Don't spray in eyes.
Talent knows.
All together now.
Veramist. For our seasonal nasal and eye allergy symptoms. One for all.
To learn more, talk to your doctor. See our ad in health. Call 866-9-VERAMIST or visit Veramist.com.
Lead to the four best words of all. You got the job. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. Valid through May 6th in U.S. only. See store for details.
Coming up Wednesday on the Tom Hartman program, I'll challenge Rehan Salam, associate editor of The Atlantic and fellow at the New American Foundation, about the grand new party, how Republicans can win the working class and save the American dream. What? Plus, former federal prosecutor Elizabeth De La Vega will be here to talk about the torture memos and the debate on the special prosecutor. And in our Everything You Know Is Wrong segment, Phil Chalmers, author of Inside the Mind of a Teen Killer, will be here.
It's the Tom Hartman program, 1 to 4, on AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
My basic argument has always been the people of Colorado voted twice, 1966, 1974, overwhelmingly approved it, and it's my position that if the legislature thinks they've changed their mind, we ought to ask them.
That was Attorney General John Southers, not only saying he opposes the effort to repeal the Colorado death penalty, but trying to say that the legislature has no right to do it. It's pathetic. I respect people who disagree with me on this specific issue. That's fine. You want to disagree on the death penalty, that's fine. But don't be a constitutional officer in Colorado and say the legislature basically has no right to weigh in on this issue. I mean, we elect the legislature to make laws. Maybe Attorney General Southers didn't know that, but that's what we elect the legislature to do. Okay, now it's time to open the AM 760 Progressive Dojo. Let's spar it out. Let's duke it out. What do you think? Do you want the death penalty repealed in Colorado? Or do you want to preserve the death penalty? Turk has said he agrees with State Senator Brandon Schaefer, who came on earlier and said that he didn't say how he's going to vote on this bill. He said he wants to listen to testimony. But Brandon Schaefer, the incoming State Senate president, said that he's opposed efforts to repeal the death penalty because he thinks people have done heinous crime and they need to be punished.
There are some heinous crimes out there that should be punished by death. But how do you do it? Which is the most humane way to do it?
Well, but it's not an issue.
There is no humane way to do it.
There's no issue of, it's not an issue of is lethal injection. I mean, there's a lethal injection or any other kind of way, the electric chair. But, I mean, here's the question, and I read off some stats. Some Northwestern University says that at least 34 people that they know of have been executed when there's been compelling evidence that they were not responsible for the crime.
Yeah, and you can't have that happen. You know, somebody's, like I said, I brought up the example of people that molest children.
Okay, but
Let's say somebody's falsely accused of molesting a child.
Right. So I guess the question then is,
maybe it's just corruption in the whole system.
Well, yeah, I mean, the system. The system is definitely, but here's the thing, even if you have a perfect judicial system, as good as, there always is going to be human error, right? There's always going to be some error in the system. So here's the question that I ask both the listeners and to you, John Turk. How many people are you willing to execute? How many innocents are you willing to execute as a cost of doing business of a death penalty where it's acceptable? Where does it become not acceptable? Like, what percentage does it become not acceptable?
Well, 0% is really what you're shooting for.
But you have to admit, you have to acknowledge that, first of all, you have to acknowledge that that's not, we don't have 0% right now.
And that's not possible.
And two, that 0% is just not possible. So my question is, like, how many total deaths of innocents are you willing to accept in order to preserve the death penalty? And I really, I'm not asking that. It's not a rigged question.
I know.
I'm curious.
I know it's not a rigged question. It's a hard one to answer, you know, if you take that opposite side. But obviously, I don't want to see anybody that's not guilty of a crime being put to death. And how do you solve those kind of cases? I don't know. I mean, I think 1% is not bad.
1%?
1%.
One out of 100 people on death row?
Oh, one out, yeah.
See what I'm saying? Like,
no,
one, you know, like it's...
But no, I think that there is a place for it, and I think it is a deterrent. I really think it is a deterrent.
See, okay, now here's where I'm going to disagree with you.
And some folks are like, hey, you know what? Screw this. I got no money. I'm going to go kill somebody, and I'll have, you know, I'll be in prison. I'll get food. I'll have a shelter over my head.
But here, let me I'll counter that, and there's no way to prove this, but my take is this. The kinds of heinous crimes that get you on death row are the kinds where you are dealing with super, super crimes of passion.
Yeah, like you take...
Or crazy, crazy people, right? These are deterrent requires a sort of a rationalizing, a calculation, right? Like, oh, I'm going to do that, and I might get that. The kinds of crimes that get you on death row are, I would say, mostly they happen in the moment of passion, right there. Or there's like a serial killer, like a Jeffrey Dahmer, who's just crazy. So my point is that the people who end up on death row are the kind of people who aren't weighing deterrent calculations, right?
Yeah.
They're just doing crazy stuff. So I don't see the deterrent aspect. One of the deterrents to crime for like somebody like me and you, among other things, is that I don't want to go to jail.
Exactly, and that's a deterrent.
Yeah, right. But what I'm saying is that like the kinds of crimes that get you on death row, that kind of thought process, like Jeffrey Dahmer. He didn't care. I mean, he was insane.
He was insane. Or you take this guy from a couple years ago in Tennessee that I think kidnapped that 7-year-old woman.
Right.
Or 7-year-old girl and I think had, you know,
I mean,
molested
do you really...
her and then killed her, cut her up into little pieces and buried her somewhere.
Do you really think that like...
I think that guy needs to be killed.
Well, okay, so now you're not at the deterrent. Now you're back to, which is fine. Now you're back to, like, eye for an eye.
An eye for an eye, right.
Okay. All right. I mean, and
I
that's...
I know, and that sounds really bad.
No, it doesn't sound bad. That's a point of view, and everybody is entitled to that point of view.
And I'm not saying, you know, they need to have, you know, lethal injection. I don't know what the best way to do it, or whatever.
I
don't think people like that deserve to live in prison either.
Look,
you know?
That's a matter of morality and principle, and I disagree with it, but I completely respect it. All right, let's go to the phones. Let's see what everyone's thinking. 303-713-7600 is the number. We'll go to Ron in Littleton. Ron.
Hey, how you doing?
Okay.
I used to be pro-death penalty, but I've changed my mind a little bit. And I'm just wondering, is it set up certain places for them and just put them in a cell, no TV, no nothing, just let them suffer and think about what they did. And they're going to be wishing they were dead after 10 years.
Well, that's where I am. I think life in prison is... You know, you may be alive, but it's not a good life. I also think now.
Yeah, but no comforts, no TV, no nothing. You're in there. You're in your cell 23 out of 7 hours.
You're right. That's where I am. Although I would actually say this, and this will be really controversial. I'm just going to throw this out there. If you watch the movie Dead Man Walking.
Yeah.
You know, this is a movie about a guy who commits a really, really horrible, horrible crime. And it's about the death penalty. And the part of the issue I have with this is, like, at some level, I mean, you can never forgive people for these kinds of crimes. They're so bad. They're so awful. But I kind of believe that making them live with the knowledge of their crime is in a lot of ways a punishment worse than death. Killing these people kind of lets them off a little easy. They don't have to sit and marinate on and think about what they did. And I also think, I mean, this is going to be even more controversial. I also think And this is where I'm getting a little uncomfortable with myself even here, but the idea that, like, these are unforgivable crimes, but do we really want to be a culture of such punitive punishment, right? I mean, like, what are we really getting by punishing people that harshly? Now, I completely understand the idea where you got to keep a serial killer, somebody who does heinous crimes, you got to keep them out of public circulation because they're a clear and present danger to the population. But the question about punitive punishment, it's like, I don't know, there's just something, there's something about the death penalty that is so, it's not just final, it's so punitive. And I just don't know if that's like, that just doesn't seem to be such a healthy impulse for a society. And I say that, I want to be clear, I say that having, you know, I'm not trying to forgive people who do heinous crimes. I'm just saying, as a matter of public policy, for our society to be so focused on punitive punishment, there's something really negative and unhealthy about that.
But, no, I look at it that, you know, that, hey, get them out of society. I'm the one, I can forgive, but they've got to atone for it, and they can spend the rest of their lives in an isolated cell atoning for it.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I mean, you and I are basically saying we're talking about two sides of the same coin, which is that you're saying let them atone for it, let them sit there and think about it. I'm saying I agree with that, and also that having to sit there and think about it for your whole life, I mean, that's arguably as bad, if not worse, punishment than getting off easy and being able to just check out. See you later. Thanks for the call. Great call. We'll go back to the phones. We'll go to Luann. Luann in Denver.
Yeah, hi.
Hi.
Hey, I agree with saying about the fact that conviction errors certainly, they certainly make me oppose the death penalty. But I also think that there is an issue around the method of execution and how that is an additional reason to oppose the death penalty, in my opinion. Because I think based on what you just said about reflecting on how punitive and how it feels objectionable for a society to support that type of action possibly, if you look at the fact that it's been very difficult, if not impossible, to find a humane way to execute people, I think that adds to your argument. Because I think in the past, certainly the electric chair is, I think some of these devices have actually constituted torture and possibly cruel and unusual punishment. And I think that there's quite a bit of controversy about the current technique, the lethal injection.
Well, there certainly is. I didn't mean to downplay it. You're right. I didn't mean to downplay that issue about how do you, or even can you, humanely execute somebody.
Exactly.
I mean, you're right. And I would actually say for religious folks, I want to read off two things for religious folks. First is from a state, the lone Republican legislator who voted for the repeal, Don Marostica, I'm saying his name right, I think. Quote, I'm pro-life, and consequently I believe in the sanctity of all human life, and I mean all. So that's why I voted for the repeal. So there's that issue, and then there's the other issue of this. I kind of think if you believe in God, that you believe that somebody who commits heinous crimes is going to meet their maker, and they're going to serve a punishment that's, they're going to serve their punishment, you know, in sort of eternity. If you're a religious person, you probably believe that, that they're going to serve their punishment. And so, you know, I just kind of think that us legislating that kind of punishment is just, I don't know, it feels so primitive.
I agree with you.
Beyond, and again, this is beyond the idea that we're executing innocent people and that it costs us money. I'm just saying it's sort of a gut level. There's just something really primitive and punitive.
I agree with you. Well, and I think that the circumstances around the actual executions add to that sense of it being a primitive.
Yes.
Very objectionable situation.
Yes, absolutely.
In every way. I also think that, as you said, folks that make it to the level of being on death row are beyond rehabilitation.
Beyond rehabilitation, they're beyond deterrence, right? Yes. The death penalty is not deterring the kind of crimes that gets you to death row.
Right. But what I was trying to say is I would rather the judicial system put our, if we're going to put some attention on something as opposed to finding the perfect way to execute someone, which I don't think you can find, I think I'd rather look at people that are rehabilitatable and divert those funds into some other project.
Right.
That has to do with the judicial system as well.
Right.
And I think that's part of this bill, maybe. I don't know why they chose cold cases, but I don't know about that.
Well, I think my guess is that the politics of it are is that for people who were the victims of, or whose families were the victims of heinous crimes, this is a way to take the resources that are going into the punishment of heinous crimes and putting them into solving, to sort of stay within the genre of awful, awful, heinous crimes, if you will. Luann, thanks for the call. 839, I'm David Sirota filling in for J. Marvin on AM 760 Progressive Talk. 303-713-7600 is the number. Get in on the conversation about the House's effort to repeal the death penalty. It moves to the state Senate now. First, let's go to John Turk with traffic.
Thank you, David. Things getting a little bit better on the freeways around Denver. Southbound 25 and southbound 225 still busy in those normal spots. We're also working to crash eastbound I-70 just after Pecos. Going to hit the brakes around Sheridan Boulevard. And we got a few surface street problems as well. Accident Alameda and Platte River Drive. One at Lincoln and Spear. Accident investigation, Alameda and Federal. Also still working the sinkhole near Capitol Hill at 10th and Pearl. Your forecast, sunny to start. Increased clouds this afternoon. Isolated gusty storms a possibility as well. Afternoon highs in the mid to upper 70s. Right now, 58 degrees in Denver. John Turk, AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
Toyota owners, be sure to keep your Toyota running smoothly with regularly scheduled maintenance. Your neighborhood Toyota stores are your one-stop shop for all your needs. Get the right service at the right price by the right people. Toyota, moving forward.
60 Minutes.
The CBS World News Roundup.
I'm Charles Gross.
Today on Face the Nation.
You ever have one of those days where everything goes right? First, I get the best parking space at work. Tonight, I have a date with the very lovely Rachel. And today, I gave a killer presentation in Sydney, finalized a contract in London, and demoed our new product in Boston. Online, from my desk, with WebEx. WebEx lets me take meetings and give presentations from my desk. I just talk to clients on the phone, and they watch what's happening on my desktop from their desktop. So I can travel the world and still be here for my date tonight with Rachel.
Travel less, meet online. Go to WebEx.com and try WebEx free. Just click the radio graphic and enter promo code ONLINE to get a free trial and a free retractable VoIP headset, too. Remember that code, ONLINE. To qualify for the free VoIP headset, WebEx, now part of Cisco, used by over 5.5 million people every month. Give it a try, free. Go to WebEx.com and enter the promo code ONLINE. WEBEX.com. Free headsets available while supplies last. Terms and restrictions apply. See website for details.
Sale with United Gold Group.
Gold prices have tripled since 2001, and many experts predict the prices will climb another 100%. The demand is strong, and the timing may never be better. When you buy from us, you're buying direct and getting wholesale prices. Call us and learn what other gold companies don't want you to know.
United Gold's 2009 Investors Kit will supply you with everything you need to know about the advantages of buying gold direct, cutting out the middleman. Your Gold Investors Kit is yours absolutely free if you call now. 800-670-5480. Supplies are limited, so call right away. You'll also get the secrets on how to own gold in your retirement account. Call now. 800-670-5480. 800-670-5480.
If you're ready to consolidate debt or remodel your home, you should talk to TCF Bank. TCF Bank has lots of money to lend. Visit TCF Bank, apply online at tcfbank.com, or give them a call at 1-800-TCF-LEND. TCF National Bank, member FDIC, equal housing lender.
Attention, Colorado residents. This is an important consumer alert.
Hi, folks. I'm Michael Mack.
And I'm Chris Gottsmer.
We are the Credit Card Lawyers of Colorado. If you're in credit card debt, bankruptcy and hiring a debt settlement company are not your only options. In fact, did you know that credit card debt can be wiped out in as little as 60 days without bankruptcy? Call 800-877-5000 and learn how to qualify. Now more than ever, credit card companies will work with Colorado residents to actually forgive most of your debt without bankruptcy. And unlike bankruptcy and debt settlement scams, no upfront fees are required. You can get started on this program without paying a dime in fees. 800-877-5000. 800-877-5000. TheCreditCardLawyers.com. thecreditcardlawyers.com.
Looking for a smart buy in a new best-in-class automobile? Then look at the Chevy Malibu. For the money, there just isn't a better choice. And for a dealer to buy it from, there isn't a better choice than Purefoy Chevrolet. Find us at denvermalibu.com or malibudenver.com. Any way you spell it, it's purefoychevrolet.com.
.843, I'm David Sirota filling in for J. Marvin. This is the AM 760 Progressive Dojo. Open for business, discussing the death penalty. Do you agree with the House's move to repeal the death penalty here in Colorado? It passed by one vote. It now moves to the state Senate. What do you think? 303-713-7600. Mick in Denver, what do you think?
Morning, David.
Morning.
Well, I'm against the death penalty. I used to be for it. I have personal reasons because I lost someone in my family about 30 years ago. And, you know, I can understand both sides. People that are like, it doesn't bring closure. It really doesn't. And I personally, from what my family went through, I know it doesn't bring closure and all. The person that committed this heinous crime against one of my relatives just recently died in prison. And I think now, at this point in time, at least for me, that's it. It's you know, you close the book on it because that person spent, over 30 years in prison after they were, convicted and sentenced and all. On the other hand, I do see people that, our society being the way it is, all things that fall into it, the eye for an eye and, you know, and they have to know that the person that committed this crime, pays the ultimate price quickly. I can understand that too, but I'm personally against it, so I'm in your corner. And I do think that any money that we spend, and it's hundreds of billions of dollars, I think, if you go, you know, throughout the nation, as to how long it takes. These guys sitting on death row for 10, 15, 20 years, trying to deliberate, you know, a case, and that takes a huge toll on the family of the victims also. When
right.
You have to go through that, it's such a tremendous punishment on them, too, to know that this person's still sitting there and appeal after appeal after appeal, and the hundreds of millions of dollars or you know, whatever that go into that are taxing the system. Also, I think, you know, when you look with the poor, they get slammed because of the lack of representation. There's great public defenders out there, but the system is overtaxed. And when you're poor, your chances are that you have all of the points against you in not getting to a point where if you do commit a heinous crime for whatever reason, that that you might wind up on death row. So that's my opinion. And I did want to mention one other thing, a real comment here. Very quickly, Senator Bennett's going to be here in town Saturday. I'd like to invite you to my union hall if you'd like to come Saturday morning at about 11 a.m. He's going to come and he's going to address the Employee Free Choice Act, amongst other things. If you'd like to come, I would like to leave some information with John.
Yeah, sure. Leave some information with John. I might be traveling, but if I'm not, I'll see if I can get there. So just leave the information with John. I'll put you on hold, okay?
Very good.
Thanks, Mick.
Dave.
All right. Bill in Douglas County. Bill, what do you think?
Morning, David.
Morning.
I originally called in to talk about that thing about Southers and lambasting government. It reminded me of my favorite Ronald Reagan quote when he goes, "Government is not the solution, government is the problem."
Right.
Guys, President of the United States, you know, it's the old saying that the Republicans say the government doesn't work, then they get elected and prove it.
That's right. I mean, this issue with one branch of the government berating another branch, that's what happened with John Southers. I mean, the Attorney General saying essentially that the the legislature really doesn't have a right to try to repeal the death penalty. It's just one branch of government talking to another branch of government trying to delegitimize the one branch. It's gross. I mean, legislature, that's why we elect them to make laws. I mean, maybe John Southers needs to go back to civics class, you know, and remember why we elect a legislature.
The other thing is whenever a court passes on a ruling they don't like, which happens enough, they say they refer to them as unelected judges. Were they unelected judges in 2001 when they selected George Bush to be president? We didn't hear the term unelected judges when that was going on.
That's right. That's right. And by the way, I mean, judges may not be elected, right? But they're appointed by elected officials.
Exactly.
I mean, they are part of a normal, functioning, modern democracy. To say that they have no right to weigh in on issues within their jurisdiction is just ridiculous.
Well, it gets back to the old thing, too, that when they go on and on about the Electoral College, they say, we're a republic, not a democracy. Thank God we're not a democracy. Well, the way judges come into office is exactly a manifestation of a republican democracy or a republic. I mean, they're not directly elected because we're a republic, not a democracy. But they don't say that in that case. They only say it when they're sitting there defending the Electoral College. I just find that curious the way they always do that.
That's right. And it's a double standard.
They want to
shoot the messenger whenever it's a message that they don't like.
Yeah. As for the death penalty, if I were just saying, you know, people talk about, you know, we've got to increase penalties and this and that. And on one hand, you know, there's obviously a logical appeal to that, like a market kind of appeal. You increase the price. The problem with that is that the fault with that is that people committing these crimes aren't thinking logically or in a market sense like you and I think. They're not doing a cost-benefit analysis. They're convinced, they're either not thinking at all because they're crazed out on drugs or some flaming emotion, you know, like a domestic thing or, you know, an emotional thing. People go crazy. Or they think they're not going to get caught. If you're not going to get caught, it doesn't matter what the penalty is.
That's right. That's right. So you make such a good point. The most of the people on death row are not in a mental state when they're committing the crime that factors in deterrence. So I don't buy the idea that the death penalty is a deterrent to the crimes that get you the death penalty. That's the point here. It's not a deterrent to crimes that get you the death penalty. Thanks for the call. 850, I'm David Sirota filling in for J. Marvin on AM 760 Progressive Talk. The Progressive Dojo is open. We'll be taking all of your calls about the death penalty as the House moves to repeal it here in Colorado. We're going to be taking your call. We'll be discussing this for the rest of the show. So the dojo is open. Call up if you want to disagree with me. Take Turk's side. Say you don't like that this is being repealed or you want to agree with me. Give us a call, 303-713-7600. Speaking of Turk, let's go to John Turk with traffic.
Thank you, David. Things are starting to get a little bit better as we're making the morning commute clear. Stop and go. Only spot right now I'm looking at, I-70 past Spear Boulevard on the southbound side there heading into downtown. Also some traffic starting to head northbound there from Washington Street to 6th Avenue. Things also a little bit busy westbound Turnpike, Sheridan out to Wadsworth. And we're still working this crash. It's in the cleanup phase. Should be out of our way soon. Eastbound I-70 around Pecos. Now, we'll run through these surface street accidents that have been lingering around. Two-vehicle accident, Lincoln and Spear, one at Sheridan in Arizona. That's new. Accident, hit-and-run investigation, Alameda and Federal. And finally, one at southbound Colorado and Florida. Your forecast, mostly sunny and warm with high winds and a small chance for isolated thunder showers. Look for a high around 78 right now. Downtown checking in at 57 degrees. John Turk, AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
If you're managing a growing business, you need the advice and guidance of an experienced banker who knows the market, especially during times like these. Citywide Banks is a locally owned bank where the decisions affecting your business are made right here in Colorado. CitywideBanks.com.
This is Tom Harbin. Join me in AM 760 at the Denver Green Festival, May 2nd and 3rd at the Colorado Conventions.
Did you know your mattress could be emitting toxic, cancer-causing chemicals? That's right. Most mattresses are filled with synthetic materials that are unhealthy for you and the environment. The Natural Sleep Store carries the highest quality organic mattresses, including the customer favorite, Savvy Rest. Visit their showrooms in Denver or Fort Collins to purchase an organic mattress. Mention this ad and receive a 10% discount plus free delivery. Get healthy and buy organic. For details, visit TheNaturalSleepStore.com. That's TheNaturalSleepStore.com.
Hey everybody, I'm Liz, and I found a simple way to save money and help save the planet a little. I just buy the twin pack of Cheerios at Walmart. Yep, that's it. My kids love Cheerios, so why not stock up, save some money? It takes less cardboard to pack them and ship them. So if all 200 million of us Walmart shoppers bought the twin pack instead of two boxes, we'd save over 14 million pounds of cardboard. That'd brighten all our mornings. And hey, at these prices, we can all make a difference.
Budget-friendly prices, earth-friendly products. Save money, live better. Walmart.
We were so shocked at how the credit card companies work to keep you in debt that when we learned about debt solutions they don't want you to know about, we decided to give everyone who calls now a free debt review. That's right, absolutely free. Just call Smart Debtor now at 800-303-9218. That's 800-303-9218 and get the free debt review that everyone should have. To find out how you can get out of debt now, just call 800-303-9218. That's 800-303-9218. Get out of debt fast with your free credit card debt review. Call 800-303-9218. That's 800-303-9218. Again, 800-303-9218.
Hi, this is Jay Marvin. If I know about something great, you know I have to share it. And that's how I feel about Rocky's Autos. Rocky's Autos has the largest selection of clean, late model used cars, trucks, minivans, vans, and SUVs in Colorado. Over 500 units on the lot. And they've got everything you can think of. Ford, Chevy, Dodge, Nissan, Toyota, Honda, Saab, Pontiac, Volkswagen, Mercedes-Benz, Jaguar. I mean, they've got it all. And these are the kind of things I hear about Rockies all the time.
I did go up to Rockies. It was the best experience I ever had of buying a car. I've bought a lot of cars in my life. Just the whole experience, I was going to tell you, was awesome.
I want to put a plug in for Rockies. We bought that car. We bought it cheap, and it was worth a whole lot more. My next vehicle is going to be from them again. I guarantee you.
That's Rockies Autos, open Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. Get out there and see them in person. Rockies Autos, located at the corner of 63rd and Federal, just north of I-76, just south of the Boulder Turnpike.
Did you know that virtually all replacement windows are tested and rated for energy efficiency before they are offered for sale to the public? Colorado Window Store strongly urges consumers to beware of other companies out there that are misleading you to think you're getting something of value almost given to you. Hi, this is Leo from Colorado Window Source. My partners, Kurt, Scott, and I offer true pricing. Our best price, the first time, all the time. No gimmicks, no false discounts, no pressure. Colorado Window Source is your premier provider for replacement windows, siding, patio, and entry doors. By the way, the government is giving money away. Take advantage of the stimulus plan tax credit, and we will match your credit up to the maximum of $1,500. Call it the Colorado Window Source. Stimulate and maximize your savings program. We have the best pricing, great referrals, Gold Star No Complaints Award from the BBB, proud member of Tom Martino's referral list, and our service is backed by our exclusive true warranty. So give us a call at 720-200-2700. Or click on ColoradoWindowSource.com or stop by our showroom on the southwest corner of County Line in Quebec in Highlands Ranch.
I'm David Sirota filling in for Jay Marvin on AM 760 Progressive Talk. Back to the phones. About the death penalty, Doug in Denver. Doug.
Hi, David.
Hi.
I'm for the repeal. I just don't think the system is flawless to ensure that everybody we're convicting is actually guilty. But it's also for the people that think that, oh, if you're in prison for life, that it's a bed of roses, you're watching TV and eating bonbons all day. That's not the case. I have a brother that's in prison in another state. He's in for life without parole. The death penalty wouldn't have been a deterrent for him when he committed his crime. He was high as a kite. And if he hadn't been, he probably wouldn't have committed the crime in the first place. But the situation, he's in his 50s, other inmates fights, he's confined to the bar 1 hour a day out of the cell. The cells are tiny. And the situation they're in, you have to pay for medical care. If you have a minor visit, you have to pay for it. A way to earn money. So if relatives are actually sending you funds, you go without.
Yeah. Yeah, well, look, I mean, you're describing for us the idea that life in prison without parole is no picnic. I think it's a pretty bad punishment. And I think that it's also, you don't get let off easily, mentally, psychologically. You've got to sit and marinate there in the awfulness of your crime. And I'm willing to accept that punishment because I think it's pretty severe in lieu of a death penalty system that may be killing people who didn't commit their crimes. Hey, thanks for the call. All right, stick around. The AM 760 Progressive Dojo will be around, will be open after the top of the news to talk about the death penalty.
The labeling. Stop all the name calling. The country is done with this us versus them conversation.
The Ed Schultz Show.
We have spoken.
Mornings 10 to 1 on AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk. Turn to the left with AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk. KKZN, Thornton, Denver, Boulder. And AM760.net.
I'm Nick Young. Police in the Washington suburb of Reston, Virginia, are investigating the circumstances surrounding the death of David Kellerman, the acting chief financial officer of Freddie Mac. Police sources say the 41-year-old hanged himself in his home. Reporter Neil Augenstein of CBS affiliate WTOP has been talking with neighbors.
They knew he was the acting CFO of the government-controlled company that's been criticized for its role in the housing and financial crisis, but they had no indication that he might have been distraught.
We see them, you know, in the neighborhood, at, you know, neighborhood parties and, you know, with the pool and never really talked about work.
David Kellerman's body was found by a family member early this morning downstairs in his home. In a statement, Freddie Mac says it's truly saddened by the news and says that David Kellerman will be remembered for his extraordinary work ethic and integrity.
A troubling new sign in the foreclosure crisis, Realty Tracks Rick Sharga.
The foreclosure problem seems to be spreading from the major metropolitan areas out into some of the secondary markets.
Such as Boise, he says, and Sharga says there is another trend that's accelerating, foreclosures caused by unemployment. Housing prices are still running more than 6% below levels of a year ago, but the Federal Housing Financial Agency says in February they increased 0.7%. While millions of American students finish high school, a new report says 1 million drop out. Cities including Indianapolis, Cleveland, and Detroit are among the worst hit, says America's Promise Alliance. The group's president, Marguerite Kondracki, says that does not bode well for the company's future.
This country cannot recover from the economic crisis if we are losing half of our big city children from high school.
The students headed for college are facing a steeper price tag. One report says public universities will be boosting tuition by at least 5%. And far more in some instances. College Board Policy Analyst Sandy Baum says in the face of tighter state budgets, the schools have little choice.
The only way that these colleges can continue to educate students, therefore, to get revenue from another source, that's tuition.
The debate over harsh interrogation methods is growing after a Senate report that concludes Bush administration officials authorized the use of these techniques, including waterboarding, and then reshaped the law to permit it. CBS News military consultant Jeff McCausland says this isn't the end of it.
Very likely, at a minimum, we're going to see hearings and potentially senior Bush officials brought forth to testify, if not outright investigation.
It is election day in South Africa, where voters will choose a new parliament. Reporter Gretchen Wilson is in Johannesburg.
There are hundreds and hundreds of people waiting perhaps, you know, an hour and a half to 2 hours to cast their vote. But the mood in general is quite optimistic that things will go well, that it's been quite calm.
The powerful African National Congress is assured another victory, which will lead to Jacob Zuma becoming the next president, but the ANC is facing its toughest electoral challenge since the end of apartheid. On Wall Street right now, the Dow is ahead 43 points, the Nasdaq 19. This is CBS News.
If you're a contractor, four of the most beautiful words you can hear are, "I like your quote."
To help you hear that more often, the Home Depot has lowered the price of over 1,000 items pros use the most. Latest example, 20% off select special order doors and windows, including Geldwin, Feather River, and Masonite, which can then lead to the four best words of all. You got the job. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. Valid through May 6th in U.S. only. See store for details.
You know, there's a lot to think about when you're buying a new car. Take the Accord from Honda, for example. It has a higher resale value than any of its competitors. And because of its exceptional engineering, it can mean low maintenance costs. So what's the bottom line? The Accord costs less money over the long term. And that's music to anyone's ears.
Based on Edmunds.com's true cost to own for the first 5 years of ownership, 2009 Accord, winner of the ALG Residual Value Award, midsize car segment.
I'm David Kao with an AM 760 local news update. A 69-year-old piece of Colorado history, now history. The ski train to Winter Park has taken its last trip out of Union Station. Governor Ritter says he understands businessman Phil Anschutz's decision to sell the train to a Canadian company, but the governor says people will miss it.
There's so much history in that train. I've only been able to ride it a couple of times on the occasions when I've ridden it. It's thoroughly enjoyable. What a great way to cut to, you know, the mountains and get back on a ski day.
The ski train ran from Union Station to Winter Park for 69 years. You may remember the story of Marie Morrow of Cherokee High School, nearly expelled for having a fake gun in her car at school. Well, Governor Ritter has signed a bill that allows schools to decide on a case-by-case basis how to handle cases in which a student brings a fake gun to school. The woman accused of causing an accident on Peña Boulevard that killed two librarians has been sent back to jail. That after a monitor worn by Sandra Jacobson registered an alcohol spike this weekend. The Denver Post reports Jacobson's attorney argues the monitor reading was spurred by floor cleaner. Jacobson had been ordered to stay away from alcohol in any form. And former Denver Broncos mascot Thunder has died after surgery. The Arabian Stallion appeared in two Super Bowls and was the team mascot from 1993 to 2003. Sports, Nuggets, Hornets, Game 2 tonight at Pepsi Center, and the Rockies beat the D-backs 9-6. They finish off that series this afternoon in Arizona. That's your AM 760 Progressive Talk News Update. I'm David Kao. Now Todd Parker with your AM 760 Progressive Traffic.
Southbound I-25, still a bit busy downtown. We're also seeing some leftover delays on 2 1/4. This is as you're making that Parker curve towards DTC. Speeds through that stretch, they're still going to be dropping into the teens and 20s, so do factor that into your ride. Off those main roads, we've got crashes. They're all in the cleanup stages, but you may see activity still. Lincoln and Spear, Alameda and Federal. Two cars mixed it up, Sheridan and Arizona, rather. Finally, emergency crews that just got on scene of a wreck on Colorado near Florida. I'm Todd Parker. AM 760, Progressive Talk.
Every once in a while, a revolutionary product comes along that changes everything.
Check it out, future.
Looking for a new companion to keep track of the time and the number of calories you're burning? You need to check out the latest additions to Garmin's Forerunner range of watches, including the 310 XT, which features a robust exterior, is waterproof to 50 meters, boasts improved calorie counting accuracy, and also has GPS and wireless connectivity capabilities.
Inspector Gadget.
Next year's Golden Globes will be televised live across the U.S. for the first time. Organizers say that time differences and leaked videos in the West Coast before the show has even aired meant that it makes more sense to just screen the show live across the country at the same time. 2010's nominations will be revealed on December 15th. Bruno is Sacha Baron Cohen's highly anticipated follow-up to Borat. It's set for a July 10th release, but unless producers tone down some of the content, it could be slapped with a kiss of death NC-17 rating. Reports suggest there may be a little too much sexy time in the mockumentary about the flamboyant fashionista Bruno, which has already been praised by critics.
Welcome
real
live
for
the world premiere.
The movie industry is all on Twitter about rumors of a big screen return for Tom and Jerry. If true, they would be following in the live-action footsteps of fellow Hanna-Barbera character. character Scooby-Doo. According to reports, the new Tom and Jerry movie will focus on how the two characters met and the reasons behind their subsequent rivalry.
Would oppose such efforts, and it's a good reversal. I'm glad the president has changed his position on that. The banking industry is lobbying the Treasury Department to make it less costly for banks to get out of the bailout program. To get out of the bailout program, the banks have to buy back warrants that we, the taxpayers, bought, and the banks don't want to have to buy those back. Hilariously, they're bemoaning a prepayment penalty, which, of course, many of them charge via their credit cards to consumers. What a joke. Congresswoman Jane Harman of California was allegedly caught on tape through the NSA wiretapping program, agreeing to try to lobby the Justice Department to not prosecute a few spying suspects in exchange for help in pressuring House Speaker Nancy Pelosi to give her a chairmanship. Harman is defending herself incredibly by berating the warrantless wiretapping program that caught her, even though she was a vocal supporter of it, even though she voted for it. Credit card companies, the CEOs of credit card companies are going to be meeting at the White House. The White House is expected to deliver a sternly worded message. The credit card companies should lessen and lower their interest rates. I think it's a good first step by the White House to do this, but it's going to need legislation to crack down on the credit card sharks. No amount of words are going to back that industry down. Controversial fertility doctor claimed yesterday to have cloned 14 human embryos and transferred 11 of them into the wombs of 4 women. So cloning is back in the news. In the first major disclosure of corruption in the bailout program, federal investigators said this week they have opened 20 criminal probes into possible securities fraud, tax violations, insider trading, and other crimes. Top recipients of that bailout spent more than $10 million on political lobbying in the first 3 months of this year, including aggressive efforts aimed at blocking executive pay limits and tougher financial regulations. So your taxpayer money is being used to subsidize bank industry lobbying. That should make you feel great after paying your taxes. Here in Colorado, the Associated Press reports that facing opposition from district attorneys and the governor, Colorado lawmakers are dropping a plan to overhaul sentencing laws this year. We talked about this on Monday, and we will talk about it again on Friday with Denver Post columnist Susan Green. She wrote a column about how Bill Ritter is abandoning his pledge to do criminal justice reform by opposing this bill. We talked to incoming State Senate President Brandon Schaefer in the 8 a.m. hour, who said that this issue is not dead and that the bill was a first step to getting the issue back on the agenda. A new law signed by Governor Bill Ritter on Tuesday aims to give drivers more warning when cities such as Fort Collins decide to use photo radar systems to monitor traffic speed and red light violations. A new poll from the Public Policy Polling Company found 49% of Colorado voters approve of Obama's performance compared to 41% who don't. The poll also found that 41% say they support what Mark Udall has done in his first 3 months in office, with 46% disapproving. Those are really bad numbers for Udall. Really bad. The Pueblo County School District voted down a controversial proposal to move to a 4-day school week. That had been in the news a lot, but it was voted down. AP reports a United Airlines official said an airliner leaving BWI for Denver was hit by lightning and forced to immediately land. A big scare for a plane load of folks from Denver. And now we're going to reopen the AM 760 Progressive Dojo and talk about the top story of the day, which is the Colorado House passing by one vote a repeal of the death penalty, taking the money that would be saved on the expenses for incarceration and appeals taking that money saved and moving it into a fund to investigate cold cases, the unsolved murders. What do you think about it? 303-713-7600. I'm for the repeal. Turk is against the repeal. Incoming State Senate President Brandon Schaefer, he said he doesn't know where he is on this appeal, on this bill as it moves into the State Senate, but he has said that he opposed the death penalty repeals in the past, and that he has been for the death penalty in the past. So for those who want to see this repealed, that's not good news, because Schaefer is obviously a very influential senator in the State Senate where this issue will be decided. So what do you think? 303-713-7600. Let's go back to the phones. Let's go to Dan in Lakewood. Dan.
Hello, Dave. Sorry.
Hi there.
I wanted to get outside because I got the radio going on inside.
Okay.
Hey, question for you, or actually a statement I want to make. I want to say that I am a proponent of the death penalty, but I'm only a proponent if the death penalty works for everyone and not people who are wealthy or people who have advantages, like to be able to obtain lawyers, more lawyers than other people can. So basically what I'm saying is, as long as it's not going to be an equal system where the poor have the same advantages as the rich, I guess I'm against it.
Well, and that's pretty obvious that look, our legal system is just like our political system. The more money you have, the more you can make it work for you, and the less money you have, the less it does work for you. And so,
I think the system doesn't work. Well, give me an example. There's that med student that's somewhere out in the Midwest who supposedly is killing women.
Right.
And I guarantee you, because he's a med student and he's engaged to be married, and he comes probably from a well-to-do family, and he happens to be white, and he's probably has some money behind him, those people don't get put on the death penalty.
Well, I don't think you can make a blanket statement like that, but what you're saying, I think you can say that disproportionately the system metes out its most brutal punishments statistically against those who have less money. That's undeniably true. And there was examples, by the way, I remember this, there were examples in Texas. And the reason I remember this is because it came up in the 2000 election, where Texas executes the most people in the country,
right,
of defendants, public defenders falling asleep.
Yep.
at these trials. You know, you're not getting a good defense if your attorney is falling asleep. And so this is what I'm saying, is that we don't even have close to a perfect system.
Right, and as long as it's not perfect, and not as long as there's not equal justice, and I don't see it being equal.
So what you're saying is, and I appreciate this, is a lot of candor here. What you're saying is, you support the concept of a death penalty, but you believe that our system is so unequal, so unfair, so imperfect, that we've got to make the system perfect, more equal, and more fair before we have a death penalty.
My wife brought up this point this morning. They shouldn't even look into what kind of wealth, but see, that comes up in the trial, the lawyer that takes the case and that type of thing. It shouldn't even be looked at. Everybody should be equal. If you get caught doing a crime and you're wealthy, and somebody else who's poor doing the crime and you're wealthy, it should be an equal situation where they both go in and it's equal. But we know it's not.
Well, we know it's not, but here's the problem, is that you can't legislate that. Well, let's put it this way. It's hard to legislate that equality, because the inequality stems at least in part from the quality of legal representation you get. So it's hard to legislate that other than to make the public defender's office a heck of a lot better.
And that's not going to happen with budgets and things like
that. That's not going to happen with the budgets that we have now. That's exactly right. Hey, Dan, thanks for the call.
Sure.
Mark in Denver, what do you think?
Well, I have to agree with the single Republican representative who voted for the, you know, repeal on most of his thoughts on, you know, being pro-life and everything.
And let me reiterate, I'll let you go on, but let me just reiterate this, what you're referring to. State Representative Don Marostica of Loveland was the lone Republican to vote for the bill. He's quoted in the Denver Post as saying, quote, "I'm pro-life, and consequently I believe in the sanctity of all human life, and I mean all. So that's why I voted for the repeal."
Yeah. Well, the only problem I have with that, I guess, is that what happens to, and I haven't been listening all morning, but I just want to get your take on, you know, people who commit, you know, just the most heinous murders out there. What happens when, how would you turn around and justify, even as I already said, I agree with the guy, how would you justify saying that in society, if you kill someone, and it's, you know, cut and dry, you kill somebody, how do you justify that they don't deserve an equal retribution?
Well, I guess the way I justify it is that I think that being put in jail for life with no parole is a very bad punishment, and arguably, just as bad, if not worse, because you've got to spend the rest of your life thinking about the crime you committed rather than just getting, in some ways, the easy way out. You know, you get executed, you're done. You don't have to really, there's no pain and suffering. But then again, I also think that if you do believe, if you're a religious person and you do believe in some kind of afterlife, some kind of situation after you die, I think if you've committed a heinous crime, you're going to face a punishment anyway. And so my take is this, is that I'm uncomfortable with state-sanctioned killing. I'm uncomfortable particularly with state-sanctioned killing that we know is being, we know comes with errors where we have stats that show that at least 35 people, at least, have been killed, executed at the hands of the state, according to Northwestern University, with evidence that surrounded the case that suggests that they might have been innocent. That's why, by the way, Illinois repealed its death penalty, because they kept finding these problems with these cases. And then there's the whole budget issue, but just as a matter of morality, I think considering the imperfections in the system and the potential for killing innocent people, that life in prison without parole is a pretty serious punishment, even and at the level of in terms of a justice equation, at the level of heinous crimes. It's a very, very, it's no picnic to go away for life in prison without parole. Thanks for the call, Mark.
Thank you.
920, I'm David Sirota filling in for Jay Marvin here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. 53 degrees going up to 73 in Denver. Beautiful day out there. Weigh in on this debate on the death penalty, 303-713-7600. Let's go to John Turk with traffic.
Thank you, Dave. Traffic's really back in shape for us now. Freeway showing no problem. The only place I'm seeing some heavier volumes is on the southbound side of 25 there, I-70 past Spear Boulevard. We do have a couple surface street crashes in the cleanup phase. Should be out of your way shortly. One at Sheridan and Arizona, and one on the southbound side of Colorado there at Florida, and that's a really busy intersection, so do expect to catch some delays there at Colorado and Florida. Your forecast today, sunny to start. Increased clouds this afternoon. Isolated gusty storms as well. Got a little chance of precipitation. Afternoon highs in the mid-upper 70s. Right now, it's already 61 degrees in downtown Denver. John Turk, AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
New casino players eat for free at Fortune Valley Hotel and Casino in Central City. Enjoy an all-you-can-eat buffet.
The Douglas County Democratic Party invites you to join them at their 5th annual Clinton Carter Dinner on Saturday, April 25th. This dinner has it all. Great speakers like Governor Bill Ritter, the National Director of Progress Now, Michael Huttner, and Andrew Romanoff as the MC. Plus live entertainment and a silent auction. Be part of the new energy that's turning Douglas County blue. Tickets can be purchased at douglasdemocrats.org or call 303-907-8961.
Hey again, it's Mr. Money from the Lodge Casino. I gotta tell you, some of these new games we have here are awesome. Like this one, Star Trek. It's even better than the show because you'll win cash and lots of it. Well, back to work. Anyone feeling lucky?
Yeah, I feel lucky at the Lodge.
That's the spirit, Fred.
I like to come to the Lodge because I like to win.
Why, thank you, Lisa.
Lodge Casino.
Your first choice for fun.
Technology.
every once in a while, a revolutionary product comes along that changes everything.
Take it out of the future.
iPhone users now have a new way to make calls. Say hello to Skype for iPhone. Don't get too excited, though. As it turns out, you'll only be able to use this app when you're connected to the interwebs via Wi-Fi. Even so, it does promise the ability to make free Skype-to-Skype calls, Skype out support, and instant messaging with other users.
Inspector Gadget.
You are evicted.
Get ready for another reality TV show which promises to significantly transform the lives of its contestants. If you think you've heard it all before, think again. This as-yet-unnamed show, which is set to air on NBC sometime later this year, will feature the king of self-help, Tony Robbins, who hopes to strengthen and motivate individuals faced with real-life struggles.
Reality TV Rundown.
Every once in a while, a revolutionary product comes along that changes everything.
Take it out of the future.
The recently released Amazon Kindle 2 has a couple of new buttons, the iPhone and iPod Touch. A new app has just been pushed out through Apple's App Store, which allows users to read the exact same Kindle content with their Apple devices. It doesn't end there, though, as shared features include the ability to sync bookmarks, buy new content, and more.
Inspector Gadget.
Go3Bundles.com.
Welcome back to the AM 760 Progressive Dojo. The dojo is open. What do you think about the death penalty? Do you agree with repealing it or not? 303-713-7600. Michelle in Lakewood.
Hi, David. How are you?
Good.
You know, I do agree with repealing it. And when you had mentioned Illinois, I'm from there. And, I mean, if Governor Ryan did nothing else good while he was governor, he did that. I just feel that if a state executes one innocent person, then the whole system has failed. I mean, it's just, it's completely failed because it's not like you've put somebody in jail for the rest of their lives and if evidence comes up later, DNA, whatever, and you can prove beyond a doubt that they're innocent, then they can be released.
That's right.
Kill someone, that's permanent. That's final. That's, you know, that's forever and ever, and you can't go back on it.
That's right, and that's.
And I would rather that the money that they spend keeping someone alive on death row go, hey, if you want to use it to solve cold cases, then by all means. Because I don't think someone who's committed a crime should be out and about running around and enjoying their freedom while the person that they committed that crime against is, you know, dead or worse, living with what happened to them.
That's right. And I think, you know, the question is what how much innocent death are we as a society willing to tolerate as a cost of the death penalty?
And I mean, and I have to look at it too. We are, I believe we're the only, or maybe we're one of two countries, first world countries, I'm not talking, you know, like South America or anywhere in the Middle East, that still use a death penalty.
That's
and
right.
It's not a deterrent. If someone's going to commit a crime, if they're going to commit a crime like that, they're not going to sit there and go, hey, wait a minute, I might have to, you know, I might get a lethal injection. They don't care. But I do agree with you that they should be reminded every single day of their miserable existence of what they did.
And let's just put some numbers behind what you're talking about here, because this is, I mean, these numbers are shocking. Okay, in 35 years of the death penalty, 129 inmates on death row have been exonerated and freed. So those are 129 people that, had they not made a lot of noise, were scheduled to be put to death. Now, imagine how many people who weren't able to make enough noise to get exonerated, imagine how many people were put to death. Northwestern University's School of Law documents at least 38 executions carried out in the United States in spite of compelling evidence of innocence or serious doubt about guilt.
And I mean, that's, Texas is, to me, Texas is the worst offender of that, because Texas has on their statutes, if you're convicted of a capital crime, if you, the death penalty, you have 30 days to present exculpatory evidence. So let's say on day 31,
right,
a lab comes back and the DNA that they use to convict you shows there is no possible way that you committed that crime. Texas says, oh, well, too bad.
And now
you have to appeal it into the federal court system, which is more taxed off. It's like, you know, if you're going to kill somebody, if you're going to ask me to sit on a jury where the death penalty is on the table, I want to see a videotape. I want to see a videotape of that person committing that crime. I don't want DNA. I don't want eyewitnesses, because eyewitnesses are notoriously unreliable. You better record what you did.
Well, and I think that, you know, I'm against the death penalty for many reasons, but one of the reasons is I think we better make our system pretty perfect before we have a punishment we can't take away, we can't repeal, we can't make amends for, before we have that punishment. Right now, we have a system that we know is flawed. And what Illinois did, I think, was the right thing. It said, we're gonna put a moratorium on the death penalty until at the very minimum, we make sure that wrongful convictions.
And not only that, Illinois is one of the only states that if someone is arrested in connection with a capital crime, which what could be considered a capital crime, obviously murder, when they're interrogated, it's videotaped.
Right.
The interrogation is videotaped. I have no problem with that, because I think that if you're, you know, I mean, any interrogation at a minimum should be tape recorded. But I think, you know, videotaping it protects the police officers who are doing their job.
Right.
And it also protects the suspect, because, you know, the police officers can't, you know, if they know that they're not being taped or anything, if it's something particularly horrifying, what's to stop them from going in there and doing a tarantella on
right.
that guy's face?
Compelled confessions.
Exactly.
You know, these things are part of, you're right, they're part of the problem.
I just don't think that it, I just don't, I mean, and people sit on death row for decades.
Right.
Now, I'm not saying that someone like, you know, well, you know, for example, Timothy McVeigh, he said, I don't want all my appeals. I did this. He confessed to it. There was evidence and all that kind of stuff. And okay, the federal death penalty, because I think that that's a little bit more, I think it's a little bit more carefully doled out. It's only saved for the absolute most heinous of heinous crimes. What Timothy McVeigh did was heinous. It was horrible. And, you know, he knew what his punishment was going to be. So maybe in very extreme cases, it's okay. But at that point, maybe that case should no longer be a state issue. It should be turned over to the federal prosecutors. Because I think that...
I just think it's hard to... If you're going to be against the death penalty, I think, you know, as a matter of... It can't be, well, it's not administered well at the state level, but it's okay at the federal level. I mean, I think it's bigger than just jurisdictional. I think it's an issue of principle. It's an issue of budgets. But I get what you're saying. I mean, I do get what you're saying about the iniquities in how it's administered at different levels. There certainly is that sub issue as well. Thanks for the call, Michelle. Let's go to Vicki in Denver. Vicki.
Oh, hi, David. How are you?
Good.
Good. Hey, this is a topic that's really near and dear to my heart. I've read a lot of books on this, and about 15 years ago, I read really long book about executions in the United States, and it's really appalling. And, you know, at one time I was, oh, maybe for heinous cases like the woman before me, but I'm totally against it now. We have a really flawed system. There, in principle alone, I feel it's totally wrong. And the idea also of, you know, using, well, first of all, if you're on death row, it costs, you know, unbeknownst to a lot of people, it costs so much more. They say, you know, I don't want to pay for this guy for the rest of his life in prison, but it costs so much more for the appeals.
Right, that's right. I mean, nobody disputes, at least I haven't heard anybody dispute, that repealing the death penalty would save money, both because it's of incarceration rates and legal costs on appeals. I mean, the death penalty costs money.
So much money.
And we're not just talking about the cost of the electric chair, the cost of the, of the lethal injection. We're talking about the whole process.
Right, exactly.
And I think that if there is a silver lining out of this budget crunch we face here in Colorado and we face nationally, the silver lining is that it's compelling states to think creatively about their budgets and specifically about criminal justice reform. Why are we locking up so many nonviolent drug offenders? Why do we have a death penalty that costs so much money that we know is imperfectly administering the worst of punishments? So I do think that the silver lining of this budget crisis we're in is forcing a debate on some of the most taboo, some of the toughest issues like criminal justice reform. Thanks, Vicki. Thanks for the call. 934, I'm David Sirota, filling in for J. Marvin here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. 303-713-7600. We're talking about the A1 story today. Front page of the Denver Post, top of the fold. Death penalty dealt blow in a tight and dramatic vote. The State House backs a bill to repeal sentencing, repeal death penalty sentencing. The Senate is next. We talked to the incoming State Senate President, Brandon Schaefer. He said he doesn't know how it's going to turn out in the State Senate. He said he has been a supporter of the death penalty over his career, but he doesn't know how this is going to turn out. But that the budget crunch is driving this debate. What do you think about it? Should we continue to spend more money, than we may need to spend, having a death penalty here in Colorado? Is it worth that cost? 303-713-7600 is the number. Let's go to John Turk with traffic.
Thank you, Mr. Sirota. Still working this crash, kind of stalling things around Colorado and Florida. Now the accidents on the southbound side, but also northbound is affected due to this one. Pretty busy intersection there. Also got a two-vehicle crash at Sheridan in Arizona. That's out there around Morrison Road area. That's causing some delays as well. Rest of the drive looking pretty good for us now. Back to top speed on 225 in Aurora between 70 and 25. Seeing some heavier volumes, though, traveling southbound on 25 from 70 past Spear. Also seeing the daily construction getting set up. Single lane closure eastbound County Line between University and Colorado. Also in Golden, Highway 58 at Washington Avenue. Your forecast, mostly sunny and warm. High winds. Got a small chance for isolated thunder showers. Look for a high around 78 degrees. Right now, we're at 63 in Denver. John Turk, AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
Now you can save even more when you shop at King Soopers. They've just lowered prices on dozens of the fruits and vegetables you buy most. You'll save more on potatoes, bagged salads, carrots, oranges, and dozens more. Get more value for the way you live at King Soopers.
Mario Solis Marriage.
Today on the Mario Solis Marriage Show, the SAT College Board calls for admission for undocumented.
Interested in learning more about solar and helping the environment? Then join Independent Power Systems at Party for the Planet Kids Fest at the Denver Aquarium. Party for the Planet is the American Zoo Association's official Earth Day celebration. Kids Fest is this Saturday, April 25th at the Denver Aquarium from 10 to 4. Visit solarips.com/kidfest to learn more or to schedule a free solar assessment. Independent Power Systems, the Coors Field solar experts.
technology.
Every once in a while, a revolutionary product comes along that changes everything.
Take it out of the future.
With the new iPod Shuffle, think zero, as in zero buttons. Yep, user control of the new Shuffle from the main unit to the headphones results in a reduction in size of around 50%. As cool as it sounds, though, there is one small caveat. If you're doing anything other than sitting still, you're going to have trouble grabbing the constantly swaying headphone control.
Inspector Gadget.
You are addicted.
American audiences could soon be dancing with the Idol, as former Idol winner Ruben Studdard announces that he's keen to compete on Dancing with the Stars. The season 2 winner recently revealed that he thinks it's a wonderful show and that he would love to be a part of it. Studdard is currently touring with the Ain't Misbehavin' Anniversary Tour, and his new album hits stores on May 19th.
Reality TV Rundown.
For details, visit SaveOurEconomy.com. Paid for by SaveOurEconomy.com.
If you're a contractor, four of the most beautiful words you can hear are, "I like your quote." To help you hear that more often, the Home Depot has lowered the price of over 1,000 items pros use the most. Latest example, 20% off select special order doors and windows, including Jeldwin, Feather River, and Masonite. Which can then lead to the four best words of all. You got the job. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. Valid through May 6th in U.S. only. See store for details.
Your 401k is in danger. Your IRA is in trouble. The U.S. paper dollar is unstable. As you hear me talk, you're losing net worth fast. To make matters worse, huge government spending is devaluing your money even faster. High rates of inflation are rolling toward you like a tidal wave of loss. Don't just sit there. Do something. Buy gold now, direct and wholesale with United Gold Group.
Gold prices have tripled since 2001, and many experts predict the prices will climb another 100%. The demand is strong, and the timing may never be better. When you buy from us, you're buying direct and getting wholesale prices. Call us and learn what other gold companies don't want you to know.
United Gold's 2009 Investors Kit will supply you with everything you need to know about the advantages of buying gold direct, cutting out the middleman. Your Gold Investors Kit is yours absolutely free if you call now. 800-670-5480. Supplies are limited, so call right away. You'll also get the secrets on how to own gold in your retirement account. Call now. 800-670-5480. 800-670-5480.
Pay off your consumer debts in months. Pay off your mortgage in a fraction of normal time. Register for a free seminar at markonthemoney.com. That's markonthemoney.com. Listen each Sunday morning at 9 a.m. on AM 760 Progressive Talk.
Hey there, here I am. 9:40 in Denver. Beautiful Front Range day. 60 degrees. Going up to 73. I'm researching my book today. I already filed my column. I'm going to try to sit out on my porch. Maybe get a tan. That'd be sweet. I've tried to set up a work situation in my house where I can be outside and work.
You should see the tan I got going, Dave. You want to see something ugly?
Yeah, you got to.
You ready for this?
Yeah, let's see. Oh yeah,
it's got the white undertones.
Yeah,
from
yeah,
my main
yeah.
Boobs covered the rest
very,
of my chest.
Very, very nice. Yeah, Turk is flashing his chest at me,
and it's like super red on the upper top, and then there's a little white area in the midsection. Then it's burnt on my belly.
And you were down in Alabama on the beach.
Yeah, and the tops of my my feet are sunburnt too.
That's sweet. You saw panic down there, right?
Saw widespread panic 3 days.
That's you're.
Yeah, it was fun.
You're like
and
a groupie.
The kids, I know. Yeah, that's what my wife says.
You are. You're like a groupie. It's
exactly.
Cool.
It's fun.
It's cool.
It's like being a deadhead in the 21st century.
Speaking of groupie, I am so psyched. Tonight I've got a little. This is how I get myself through the week. Tonight I got my brother and my sister-in-law coming over. They live across the street, so and they're bringing their dog over, and we're doing barbecue. And I'm playing some Halo with my brother, and then we're watching the season 4 finale of Lost, the 3-hour season 4 finale. Now, I know you're frustrated with the show right now.
Yeah.
Season 5.
What season are we
you're
in right now?
You're in season 5.
So you're almost caught up.
I'm almost caught up, yeah.
But now you got to wait for this 5th season to be released on DVD.
I know, well.
Or do you have it on TV?
I think you can get it. I think they have episodes of it online.
Yeah, you can watch online.
I think they do.
Just your TV.
Yeah,
you can
yeah
watch
exactly.
On your TV.
Exactly. So tonight this is my little simple pleasure. Barbecue, Halo, 3 hours of lost. I am so stoked. Hopefully I can combine it with a day sitting outside researching for my
Go book. Burn yourself out there.
Yeah, seriously. But before I get there, let's reopen the AM760 Progressive Dojo. Let's get back to our discussion of the death penalty here in Colorado. What do you think about it? 303-713-7600. Craig, what do you think?
Hello?
Hey there.
Hey, morning, David. How are you?
Good.
I hope you get your own show soon.
Hey, thanks.
Let's see. There's just a nuance that I think most people are missing here, which is that the criminal justice system was really meant to rehabilitate people. If you look back to how the prison system was set up in the U.S., it was to get away from punitive prisons and punitive treatment of criminals and rehabilitate them. And really, an abject failure in that respect, right? When you talk about these heinous crimes at the top of the heap, you know, there's a huge recidivism rate among those who are eventually released.
Huge recidivism rate. No, our criminal justice system, it's like Orwellian that a lot of these penitentiaries are called correctional facilities because our prison system doesn't even very much pretend to be about rehabilitation at all. It's the old definition of crime and punishment, and obviously that has to be part of a criminal justice system, the crime and punishment principle. But you're right, the rehab part of our whole criminal justice system, whether it's in the drug enforcement, we're focused on enforcement and interdiction and not rehab, or whether it's any other crime, we are focused way too much, I think, on punitive punishment and not enough on rehabbing people.
I agree with you wholeheartedly. I guess the way this applies to the death penalty is, what do you do when you decide someone cannot be rehabilitated? And, you know, you've done a great job of airing both sides of that. You know, the death penalty is very final. Incarceration costs a lot of money, so do appeals. But I think we got to throw this other thing into the mix that, you know, the jails really are meant to rehabilitate people. And if somebody can't be rehabilitated, what are you going to do?
Well, that's the question. But I also think that it's a matter of your definition of rehabilitation, right? I mean, somebody may not be able to be rehabilitated in public, meaning rehabilitated to the point where they can be released in public, released in the society at large. But there is a certain modicum of rehabilitation that I think somebody can even undergo in prison in a life sentence, meaning their own rehabilitation, their own dealing with, suffering with, coming to terms with the crimes they committed. Now, I certainly understand that the victims and the families of the victims of these horrible crimes may not be interested in that rehabilitation, may not be interested in forgiveness. I get that, right?
But that is the intent of the system, right?
But that is supposed to be the intent of the system, or at least part of the intent of the system. And, you know, I go back to it. I think that we are expressing a really negative, ugly part of our society when we focus so much of our society on the punitive punishment, on the getting back, on the revenge in our criminal justice. Our criminal justice system is focused primarily on revenge. That's what it's focused on, punishment and revenge. And that, I think, speaks to a very dark place that we as a society are in right now, a dark psychological place that we as a society are in right now that's just not productive. It's just not productive. It's sort of nihilistic. And so I think we have to come to terms with that. Craig, thanks for the call. Let's go to the back to the phones. We'll go to Jim in Weld County. Jim.
Hey, David. How are you?
Okay.
David, I'm against that death penalty, too. I make the analogy, it's like teaching a child not to hit by hitting. It just simply doesn't work. You're familiar with Senator Webb's recent observation that we've got 5% of the world population.
Right.
25% of the people in jails.
That's right.
And we're either a very criminal society or we're doing it wrong.
Right. I mean, well, and I don't think that we are any more. I think it's hard to make the case that we are any more prone to crime in America as any other multicultural, large society in the world. And, you know, I think I would go further than Jim Webb. I don't think it's just we're doing something wrong. I actually think we are doing something wrong, but it's deliberate. And it goes back to what I'm saying here, which is that so much of public policy, especially in the last 30 years, the rise of this angry, hard-edged, right-wing backlash politics, so much of that politics has focused our public policy on punitive punishment. Especially, the most obvious example is the tough-on-crime. I call it the Willie Hortonization of our politics. That everything is about meting out justice, meting out punishment. And so we're now sitting in a country, as Jim Webb, and as you reminded us, Jim Webb said, that we have 5% of the world's population and 25% of its prison population. I mean, that is the sign of a society that is in a really, really dark psychological place right now.
David, let me take one other issue with you. I disagree with your backing this life without the possibility of parole sentence. That doesn't work either. There's a good article in The Nation magazine pointing out that there's some 200 kids, 13 and 14 years old, in California alone who are serving life sentences without the possibility of parole. The reason it doesn't work is because they become a danger to every person who has them in jail, every jailer, and every prisoner who's with them, because there's no punishment if they kill someone.
Well, I want to be clear. Maybe I haven't been clear, which is that I support the concept of life in prison without parole. I'm not opposed to that concept. It may be it may be being doled out, that sentence, haphazardly or not in a productive way. But certainly, I mean, if you're not going to put a Jeffrey Dahmer, a serial killer, to death, that's the kind of person you can never let out back into society. So you're not really faced with any other choice between the death penalty and life in prison without parole, don't you think?
Well, I just disagree with you. Because in California, of 8,000 people that had life sentences but were eligible for parole, they only came up with 250 that were actually granted a parole. And of that 250, the governor reversed 175 of them. Now we're talking people, prisoners who are 70, 80 years old. Maybe they've served a 50-year sentence. Why are we doing this? Why don't we at least make them eligible for parole?
Okay, I see what you're saying. I mean, to me that's it.
See, the right wing told us the revolving door. They say prisoners are just...
Right, I know, they're right. They've Willie Hortonized the politics. I get that. I guess what I'm saying is, it's kind of a technical issue about whether they should be eligible for parole or not. All I'm saying is this, is that there are certain people that probably can never, ever be allowed back out into society. They are a menace to society. And I don't care if they're 70 years old or they're 20 years old. There are certain people who, and maybe they'll come up for fine, the eligibility. Maybe they'll be eligible, they'll come up before a parole board, but that ultimately should not be let out. And that's all I'm really saying. Whether they're eligible for parole and then don't get it, that's kind of a technical issue. It's a real issue, but it's more of a technical issue. But I appreciate you bringing up the point. It's definitely a good point and worth considering. Thanks, Jim. 9:51. I'm David Sirota filling in for Jay Marvin here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. We'll do one more break, and then I'll try to get to as many of your calls as possible. Let's go to John Turk with traffic.
Our last look at traffic here during the Jay Marvin Show. A new crash eastbound Hamden, just west of I-25. Those other earlier accidents, southbound Colorado, Florida, cleaned up now. Same deal out at Wadsworth around, or Sheridan, rather, at Morrison. But we do see these construction spots still pretty busy for us. Out on the south end, County Line Road between University and Colorado, and out in Golden on Highway 58 at Washington Avenue. Forecast today, sunny to start. Increased clouds after 3 o'clock this afternoon. Isolated gusty storms as well with little, if any, precipitation. Afternoon highs, look for them to be in the mid to upper 70s. Right now, 63 degrees downtown. John Turk, AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk.
Ralph Schomp Mini, featuring the Mini Cooper with a starting price of just $19,200. Now available with special 1.9% APR financing through April 30th. Learn more at RalphSchompMini.com.
This handshake that President Obama...
Don't open just any door. Open the door to your dream home with the Century 21 Paths to Your Dream sweepstakes. One winner will get the chance to win $221,000 towards a new home. Go to century21.com/sweepstakes to enter.
No purchase necessary. Must be 18 or older and legal U.S. resident to enter. Void in Kansas, Missouri, New Jersey, Oklahoma, Rhode Island. Details at century21.com/sweepstakes. Odds only depend on number of entries. That's May 16th. Each Century 21 office is independently owned and operated.
Presenting another compelling identity theft metaphor. Brought to you by Identity Guard. Today, the movies.
When it comes to identity theft protection, ordering a free credit report is like going to the movies just for the previews. But if you get your credit report from Identity Guard, then you get a veritable double feature of expert telephone support as well as 21st century tools and technologies to help protect your identity. All this from the company that's protected over 20 million people. Yes, that's right. 20 million is a lot of people. So call Identity Guard today, sit down, have a large popcorn, and get real identity theft protection and a very happy ending.
Don't be a victim of online identity theft. Get Identity Guard. Serious 21st century stuff for 21st century crime. Sign up now and get the added security of your personal password protector, ID Vault, a $50 value. Free plus shipping and handling. Call 877-600-2669 now. That's 877-600-2669. Or visit identityguard.com.
76 just south of the Boulder Turnpike.
Back to the AM 760 Progressive Dojo. Final couple calls here on the death penalty. Do you support the House's, the Colorado House's potential repeal of the death penalty here in Colorado? Dan in Denver. Dan.
Yes, I'm an old DA. I was a member of the Knife and Gun Club years ago. We prosecuted people for rape, robbery, murder, and the like. And during that, I developed some opinions on the death penalty that I thought would be different than some other people have expressed. I'm opposed to the death penalty for a variety of reasons, most of which have been covered today, including the uncertainty of the system. But I'll give you a couple more. One is, it is so unevenly applied, and I don't even refer here to racial and those kinds of really invidious distinctions. But if you live in a judicial district where the district attorney is more enthusiastic about the death penalty than in some other judicial district, you're more likely to be charged for exactly the same crime. That's one reason. It's unevenly applied in a lot of different ways. Secondly, and this I noted while being a DA, anytime you charge somebody with a death penalty case, you have transformed it from a case into a drama. And the jury is not simply deciding, did the state prove beyond a reasonable doubt, did this fellow commit the crime? They are saying, do we want to kill someone? And it makes it into this crazy drama that goes on, and that's why it costs so damn much to enforce it. It is just a silly thing, and we shouldn't do it because it does us no good.
Your point about, well, both points are really valid. I mean, I think your point about jurisdictional discrepancies never gets talked about.
No, it doesn't.
I mean, I'll one up you and say it's not even just here within Colorado.
No, it's in the United
States. Right. If you commit a crime in a non-death penalty state,
no.
You know, you're not going to face a death penalty if you commit a crime. I mean, that is so arbitrary.
And you're much more likely to get killed in Texas than you are in Colorado.
Exactly. It's so arbitrary.
It's the same thing, yeah.
Yeah, it's completely, completely arbitrary. And by the way, it's also arbitrary, of course, across juries.
Yes,
you know,
it is.
If you get a jury that's more, you know, pro-death penalty. And that's, so you're absolutely right. It's almost set up not to be administered in any kind of equal way. Dan, thanks for the call. Thanks for weighing in.
You're welcome.
All right, last call of the day. Diana in Denver. Diana.
Hi, David. Thank you for filling in for Jay. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Two quick points. I read this book by John Grisham, only nonfiction he's ever written, called The Innocent Man.
Mm-hmm. I've heard about it.
Yeah, it's a great book. Anybody teetering or have any questions should read it. It's incredible. The Innocence Project has done so much, and they have recommendations like videotaping confessions. you know,
right.
throughout the whole thing.
Yeah.
And it's really important, and it brings to light a whole lot of things. The other thing is the cold case files. They need the funding, and I just can't see the state putting someone to death when there's any question at all. Well, I don't believe in the principle at all anyway. And that's really all I had to say, because I know you're short on time. But thank you so much for bringing this topic up.
Thank you for the recommendations. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right, that's our show for today. This has been another edition of the J. Marvin Show with me filling in. Jay, if you're listening, we're all pulling for you. We're all rooting for you. Keep fighting the good fight. I know it's a tough fight right now. I'll be back here the rest of the week. Start gearing up for Movie Friday, although tomorrow's only Thursday. But start gearing up for Movie Friday. In the meantime, make sure to get outside if you can. Get outside. This is one of those days that you thank the Lord that you live on the Front Range. Until then, I'll be outside in my sandals with my dog, researching my book. See you tomorrow.
You know that virtually all replacement windows are tested and rated for energy efficiency?
Spring is here, and now is the perfect time to buy new trees for your yard. Creekside Tree Nursery is fully stocked with fruit trees, and during their fruit tree sale, prices start at only $66 per tree. Spend $500 or more and get free delivery in most areas of Boulder County. Save money, increase the value of your home, and make your yard a living investment. Call 303-668-7647 or visit creeksideboulder.com.
Hi, this is Tom Harbin. Would you like to learn to play the piano within 8 weeks? Well, now you can with the unique technique, accelerated piano method at Pianos and Pianos Teaching Facility. This course is half the price of private lessons. With the unique technique method, you'll be playing exciting selections of songs.